output have weakened, and the housing market is still far from healthy. The goal is to further reduce long-term interest rates to encourage borrowing and spending. They're expected to at least say the Fed is willing to do more. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio, Washington.
A low level of investor confidence looms as Spain prepares to test market sentiment today. It will auction up to $3.8 billion in short-term debt. Greece's conservative leader heads into a second day of talks with rival parties as the clock ticks on a three-day deadline to form a coalition government. This is NBC News Radio. George Zimmerman remains in jail for misleading the court on how much money he had at the time his bail was set. Now we're hearing tapes from Zimmerman's phone calls prior to that hearing. NBC's Jay Gray has more.
Special Prosecutor Angela Corey released six recordings of jailhouse phone calls between George Zimmerman and his wife, Shelley. Prosecutors say the recordings reveal Zimmerman providing his wife with detailed instructions on how to access a bank account and move money from one account to others.
The defense began presenting its case in the Jerry Sandusky trial yesterday. It could go to the jury on Thursday. For the first time, there are more Asians moving to the U.S. than Hispanics. It's in a new Pew Research Center survey. And unleash the dog pound. Arsenio's coming back. Arsenio Hall has inked a deal for a new television show. It'll be a late-night program. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Americans are talking about energy.
They know we need energy from all sources.
To put Americans back to work.
And keep our nation secure.
Developing domestic energy.
American oil and natural gas.
Advanced technologies are making it possible.
Protecting the environment.
The new era of energy security.
Americans are becoming energy voters.
They're voting to re-energize America.
They're voting for American energy.
Learn more at voteforenergy.org.
Brought to you by the American Petroleum Institute.
Perlman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Wow, that didn't last long. Michael Francis, the former executive at Target, hired at JCPenney to redefine the company's entire retail strategy, is gone, shown the door. He was there for 8 months. Francis was the man behind the new plan at Penney, in which prices were lowered permanently, and all those hundreds of sales events, such as the one-day sale with the three-day preview, were eliminated. Penney's profits and revenue have been slammed in the aftermath of the new policy. It's a relationship that makes some sense. We open our wallets to give more to charity when there's more in those wallets to give. This morning, the Giving USA Foundation and Indiana University Center on Philanthropy report that in 2011, Americans gave more than $298 billion to charity. That's a 4% increase over the amount we gave in 2010. Asian stock market showing some moderate losses today. In Europe, modest gains. S&P futures right now up 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose Safe Light.
GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
Business phone systems don't have to be expensive or hard to install and maintain. CudaTel is an easy-to-use, next-generation VoIP phone system that enables seamless, high-definition voice and video communication. It's time to fire the phone guy, because CudaTel can be deployed by your in-house or outsourced IT staff. Starting at just $1,399 with no per-user or per-feature fees, CudaTel by Barracuda Networks is powerful and affordable. Visit CudaTel.com for a free evaluation. That's CudaTel.com.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a highly trained Farmers agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, dum, bum, bum.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome indeed. It is Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday, the 19th day of June, 2012. Just a couple days away from the first day of summer, although the weather will lead you to believe it's August. It's going to be hot, hot, hot and humid. That was, I guess, depending on where you live, but there was quite a storm yesterday afternoon. It got awfully dark out, and then it got awfully scary. Rained like hell. The dog didn't like it at all. The first time I saw him cower the way he did, it was a little bit weird. Hid underneath my desk and cowered in the corner. I couldn't even entice him out. I had to go back in there and grab him. But anyway, I hope that you're all doing well this morning. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk a little bit about kicking some coal ash. Yeah, coal ash. This week with Susan Harley from Clean Water Action. She'll be with us just after 7 o'clock. Zenobia Jeffries from the Michigan Citizen will also be joining us. We have a whole menu of issues. She actually came to me as a result of a listener, Carol, to the program, and he spoke with her briefly on the phone last week, and so Jeff went ahead and coordinated a visit with us. So the managing editor of the Michigan Citizen will be with us, hopefully the first of many such visits. Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour, as he does every week. And obviously, well, maybe not obvious to you, but if you pay attention to what Chris talks about, many of you know that Chris is an immigrant. And came to this country, originally briefly lived in Canada, now, of course, living in the United States, has become an advocate for so many important issues. Obviously, the work he does with Metro Detroit AFL-CIO is already becoming legendary. He's got lots to say about the president's remarks last Friday, where he talked about giving people a path to legally being in this country. So he's got a lot of stuff that he wants to share with us. And, of course, lots of other things to talk about, including Vagina Day at the state capitol. And how did that go? Well, we've got plenty to talk about there. Some Democrats reacting to what other Democrats are doing, maybe not in the most positive way. And, of course, I always have something to say because it's what I do for a living. So let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Traitor. Traitor. That's a big word. It is a big word. It's nothing that I would throw around lightly. Never. And I used to, I have called the state treasurer the state traitor. Many times on this program, because I believe Andy Dillon is a traitor to the Democrats of the state of Michigan and to the Democratic Party. Not just because he agreed to be the treasurer, the state treasurer for Rick Snyder, but for those of us that watch politics on the front lines, Andy Dillon, when he lost his primary bid to be governor became a crybaby and decided that his true colors would shine and that he would end up being the Republican that most of us always knew him to be anyway. Now we look at what's going on. We talked about the dastardly six, those six Democrats that voted for the women's health legislation in the state house last week, and how important it is that we hold them accountable. As I shared with yesterday, Bob Constan, not happy with the show. But there's a report out this morning that Lecia Liss, Warren lawmaker, supposed Democrat, is now siding with the Republicans and basically calling out her Democratic colleagues.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. It just keeps on getting more and more interesting, but I don't use the word traitor lightly. There are plenty of them out there, especially in the political arena, and we need to hold people accountable. You can't say one thing and then do something else and think that people aren't paying attention to what it is you're doing. We are. We are paying attention. And as a result of that, you will be held accountable. So be careful. Be very, very careful. Because what you say can come back to bite you, not in the... Oh, I can't say that. No, it won't bite you there, but it could bite you there. We'll leave it alone. Traitor is today's first word. All right, well, welcome Jeff Radford back on this Tuesday morning. Jeff, when it's 80 degrees at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know it's going to be a hot day.
Yes, it's a traitor of a day, in fact.
I
like how that was transition go. Sometimes it's a good word, and I don't mind following it, but today you're like, eh, the word is traitor. And now Jeff Radford.
No. I see. I very, very carefully separated the end of that to the beginning of this. I was very careful to separate.
There's a traitor amongst us, by the way, because I am now drinking lukewarm coffee. Not out of the three of us, but I'm talking about in the building.
Well, when it comes to coffee, there are plenty of coffee traders in this building. You mean somebody didn't turn the burner on?
They made a second pot, which was nice. Good for you. Glad you can make a second pot, but you got to remember to turn on, the second burner, or else that pot gets cold, obviously.
So explain
we all know
this one. I did make a second pot when I got here this morning, but I did turn the burner on. So who turned
Someone
it off?
Someone then turned it off? Nice.
That's the question.
And thus, we have a traitor amongst us who wants to purposely.
We really have issues in this building with coffee.
They are now trying to purposely make coffee cold if they had turned it off.
Well, somebody, I don't know who it was, because there are a lot of people in the building that I just casually see as I'm coming and going. And somebody had said to me one day, they really need an ice machine so we can have iced coffee. Yeah, okay.
No.
Because providing you free coffee and tea and hot chocolate and anything else that's in there isn't enough. Now you need an ice machine so you can have iced coffee.
Maybe that's and this ties in nicely with what you said to start. Maybe it's because it's 80 degrees at 4 in the morning. Someone decided, you know what? Coffee sounds good, but not hot coffee. How about lukewarm coffee?
Yeah, sorry. I'm not a cold coffee. I'm not an iced coffee person anyway. I'm not. I can drink it room temperature, but I can't drink it cold.
Have you ever had a frappe from McDonald's?
Never.
Oh, man. Now, see, it's not iced coffee.
That's not coffee
right.
anymore. That's ice cream with whatever.
Yeah, it's basically like a chocolate shake, coffee-flavored chocolate shake.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
Which, by the way, will just, if you're not used to caffeine, man, I would just go nuts on those.
I would think that's probably more the sugar than the caffeine, but I could be wrong.
It could be. But I used to drink one, and then, man, it was like I'd forget to take breaths. Like, I could talk for like 10 minutes and then be like, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be breathing.
Well, maybe it's a combination of the two. And just by the way you're describing it, there's no way I could handle it.
Did you
no
see
way.
This controversy with this sneaker? I mean, I totally missed
the,
it until right now.
The slavery sneaker?
The JS something something. Yeah, it's basically like an Adidas shoe that comes with a shackle.
Yeah, and they're not going to sell it. They've made the decision not to sell it.
I mean, I think it's a silly controversy, but I think it's a silly design. Like, who would be like, I'm in the market for a sneaker, but I really want one that has a plastic shackle on it.
Well, let's take this one step further. How many different levels of focus groups and all that other stuff did they go through to get to the point where they were going to market it to the general public before somebody finally said, don't you think that looks like something a slave would wear?
But sure, there's a lot of people who drop the ball on this. But I mean, I don't even think that it plays a part. I mean, I guess it does because that's what the controversy is about. But who thinks about that and says, you know, I can play basketball better if there was something, you know, Velcroed to my ankle? Like that's the part where the disconnect is. I think what this is a bet. Like, you know, I wonder what's the silliest thing we can get kids to wear. That's what it's got to be. Like,
it doesn't get to the point. If it were just a prototype shoe, and it's not, that would be one thing. But they were ready to sell this thing when somebody stepped up and said, if you start marketing that, I'm going to sue you, which is what happened. They took a look at that shoe and went, you know what? They're kind of making sense on this one. And maybe we shouldn't market this. And how would you even market it? How would you go about it? Literally, for people who don't know what we're talking about, it's a tennis shoe that has it's plastic, but it's a plastic shackle attached to it, a chain with an ankle cuff on it.
And I think the tagline, I'll see if I can find it. The tagline is something like, your game is so good, you got to shackle your shoes to, you know,
yeah,
something
right
along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, there was this, and I can't even remember what the heck it was. I was a small kid. They had this monster stuffed animal deal, right? And it came with a handcuff that you could handcuff yourself to it. You know, and just because it has a handcuff or shackle deal, I mean, at that time, I didn't think anything about slavery. So I don't know that that's necessarily the first thing a kid would think when he sees this. But at the same time, who the hell wants to be chained to their shoes? Like, that's just not something I think would be something that kids would be like, yes, I want those shoes.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. No question, it's pretty bizarre.
Not to mention the shoes just look stupid anyway.
Yeah, they do. And, of course, there's nothing like high-quality plastic, Jeff, to really...
Right, yeah, okay. Nothing says my game is great than plastic.
You got it right. Okay. 888-552-3595. A lot to get to, and we will get to it all after we take this quick break. Good morning to you. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. Good morning. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got yourself a quiet ride so far, but of course we got construction on 75 northbound between the Davison and McNichols. Your right lane is going to be blocked there. 12 mile is closed at Coolidge, and you're reduced down to two lanes on 275 northbound between 94 and the 96 M14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, and because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in L.A. Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trippiano.
Welcome back. As we expressed earlier and, of course, talked in great detail yesterday at the state capitol last night, upwards of 5,000 plus men, women, and children showed up to watch a performance of the Vagina Monologues. Now, I got to tell you, it's been really interesting the last few days hearing the word vagina so much. Because for some people, I think it's painfully difficult for them to say it. For others, I think there's a little too much giddiness in them. But ultimately, this has been kind of empowering. As somebody that believes in the First Amendment, it's kind of cool that we've been able to express ourselves so freely. Fox 2 was there and reported from the state capitol on the events last night. This is what they report.
It was the one word that got that state rep barred from speaking on the floor of the Michigan House. Now that word is being shouted all over Lansing. The word vagina has become a call of defiance.
Tonight, thousands gathered on the steps of the capitol to protest. They also watched a performance of the Vagina Monologues. Fox 2's Alexis Wiley live in Lansing.
Monica and Huell, I don't think I've ever heard the word vagina or even said the word vagina more than I have today. And I think that was part of the point of this whole event.
She said vagina. Vagina.
And now everybody's saying it.
Vagina! The vaginas are out! We are here to stay! We shouldn't be legislating vaginas if you can't say vagina.
Saying vagina and then getting in trouble for it is exactly what thrust State Representative Lisa Brown into the spotlight. The West Bloomfield Democrat was banned from speaking on the House floor Thursday after using the word vagina while debating a bill increasing regulations on abortion. The move sparked a firestorm that's gone viral.
It's just been incredible hearing from people across the country and even in Europe. It's been unbelievable.
And then Eve Ensler, the writer of the Vagina Monologues, decided it was time for a trip to Michigan.
She called us and said, I want to come. Can you do it on Monday? So we threw this all together in 4 days.
Are there any Michigan vaginas in the house?
The performance right here at the Capitol drew thousands, not just women, but men and children, all making their stance pretty clear.
It's a word. It's a body part. It's like an arm.
Jacqueline Young brought her Army vet husband and her 3-year-old daughter to the rally.
We're not all going to, you know, go back in time and, you know, get more and more restricted on everything. It's got to stay free, open.
I don't want anyone to be banned for something so silly.
Vagina. Vagina. Doesn't matter how many times you say it, it never sounds like a word you want to say.
But these women, men, and children have a right to say it, and they're determined to keep it that way.
That's what this is all about, freedom of speech, freedom of choice, and ensuring that women are as respected in the Capitol as they should be in every office building and on the playground in the state.
Now, House Republicans say this is not about the word vagina. It's about maintaining proper decorum. Representative Barb Byram was also blocked from speaking after she tried to discuss male vasectomies. Meanwhile, protesters I spoke with say they want to come back here when the legislature's back in session so they can do this all over again. Live at the state capitol, I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
Alexis, wherever you find a demonstration, you usually also find counter-demonstrators. Did you see any opposition out there today? Were there any hecklers out there?
Actually, no. No hecklers, no counter-demonstrators. Everyone here was in a great mood, and it was a very peaceful rally.
I, for one, was surprised that there were, not that there weren't hecklers, but that there weren't counter-protesters. The right to life folk love to show up at these kinds of things with the inappropriate posters and you know, acting as if they know what they're talking about, which they don't, by the way. And the reason that I say that is I've shown up to so many pro-Planned Parenthood events, which is where they love to show up, and others, pro-women events, where they're at, and they always, it's interesting, they always have younger people holding these signs, chanting things, and when you strike up conversations with these people, these young people, they don't even know what they're there for. They're being paid to be there, so they're getting, you know, $14 or $12 an hour to just stand there and chant stuff. And when you said, you know why you're here? No, my friend said, hey, do you want to make $60 tonight? And I would say, yeah, let's do this. I'm not joking. So I was a little surprised, but happily surprised there were no protesters there. Upwards of 5,000 people. If there is anybody listening to us this morning that was at the state capitol last night, would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. Let us know what it was like. I understand that the energy was amazing. I understand that could not have gone any better than it did go. I knew that when they advertised that they had 1,000 chairs, that it wouldn't be enough. But that's a wonderful thing. I did see, again, if you go to eclectablog.com, you're going to see some pictures, some of them a little more colorful than others, from last night's Capitol event.
I woke up to jump on Facebook and was surprised friends of mine went up to the Capitol.
Good.
Actually, a friend of mine, Andrea, is a sign language interpreter. So she was actually on the steps doing sign language.
While
some of the people were speaking.
Well, then I saw maybe at the Freep. The Freep has a bunch, and I did post the link to the Freep's picture page, and there was a sign language interpreter. Maybe that was her.
I'll have to check it out. But yeah, so she was in a lot of pictures afterwards, you know, and then those were all posted on
Dark-haired?
Facebook.
Dark-haired?
No, she's blonde.
No, then that wasn't her. Well, not that there couldn't be one of her. By the way, and this is probably really inappropriate, but State Senator Rebecca Warren from Ann Arbor, wow, all I'm saying. Anyway, I'm just so impressed that, you know, with less than 4 days' notice, they had such an amazing response to the support for women throughout the state of Michigan and actually throughout the country. Lisa Brown and Barb Byram and Gretchen Whitmer and Rebecca Warren and other legislators that were there, I'm very, very proud of you. But that brings me back to Lesia Liss. Now, I'm sure, Jeff, you remember that name from Joe DeSano on Friday's program where we talked about the dastardly six that voted, the Democrats that voted against women's health care. Well, Lesia Liss is now saying that she feels sorry for the Republicans that, you know, and well, I'll use her own words. I'm not going to put words in her mouth. I feel bad for my Republican colleagues, she said, who are being misrepresented in all this. I don't know how. Ms. Liss said the House Republican majority, in fact, has treated the Democratic minority better than Democrats treated Republicans when the roles were reversed in her first term in 2009-2010. She called the Republican handling of Democratic opportunities to speak wonderful. Lesia Liss is running against John Switalski, who has been... In fact, we're going to... Jeff, we need to get John back on the show, and we need to do it quickly. We need to work... We actively need to work against the reelection of Lesia Liss, and I'll tell you why when we return, because we have to get to a break. She is not... She should actually go the way of Roy Schmidt. If you want to go ahead and jump parties, this is one where we would welcome... We would welcome her becoming a Republican. She's not going to get reelected anyway, but she needs to go. And we need to actively work against her. That's what the electoral process is all about, right? Absolutely, Tony. Thank you for recognizing that. We'll come back, talk more about this. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. First shift. Yep, it's going to be a good day. Stay with us. Much more to get to on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got yourself a quiet ride so far, but of course we got construction on 75 northbound between the Davison and McNichols. Your right lane is going to be blocked there. 12 mile is closed at Coolidge, and you're reduced down to two lanes on 275 northbound between 94 and the 96 M14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Sweeten up your day with a McDonald's frozen strawberry lemonade. Sweet strawberries and tangy lemons mixed together for a unique drink every time. Starting at just $1.69. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
Outraged Republican lawmakers rise up on their hind legs and howl in protest at any suggestion that Washington should finally end the special decade-old tax break given to millionaires and billionaires. Never mind that these privileged 1%ers are doing extremely well and don't need more taxpayer handouts. Their congressional defenders wail that any cuts in their tax benefits would spook the elites by creating, quote, financial uncertainty for them. Meanwhile, these same lawmakers howl in outrage about the meager unemployment payments going to America's hard-hit, out-of-work families who actually need a helping hand in today's jobless economy. More than 5 million of our fellow citizens have been unable to find jobs for half a year or more. To tide them over to better times, Congress begrudgingly okayed a supplement to state unemployment funds in February, supposedly allowing up to 99 weeks of jobless benefits. But lawmakers, who are so sensitive to the delicate temperaments of the 1%, struck these 99ers with a clause that builds, quote, financial uncertainty right into the law. They quietly reduced the total number of weeks of extended aid available to the jobless and made it more difficult for states to qualify for the supplement. The result is that unemployed people in 23 states have already been stunned to find that they've lost up to 5 months of benefits they were entitled to. Already, about 500,000 jobless Americans have been cut off prematurely from payments that make the difference between hanging on and plunging into poverty. This is Jim Hightower saying, adding insult to injury, these knockdowns are rationalized by the right-wing howlers as necessary. Why? To prevent the unemployed from becoming dependent on public help, a concern that they don't express about extended tax giveaways to the super rich.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us.
First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us,
like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
888-552-3595, talking about Warren, quote-unquote, Democrat Lesia Liss. She says that the House Republicans have been wonderful to her and to Democrats, which is just crazy. I don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Ms. Liss said he's been allowing people to speak. That would be Jace Bolger. Especially the two women who are now claiming they were silenced. Well, they were. They're not claiming it. They were silenced. She went on to say, I'm disappointed because this has gotten out of hand and they are making women look bad. How? If anybody knows Lesia Liss, and you know, and there's later on in this article, it talks about how she was in bed at 10:30 at night, which is, I'm criticizing that. I'm just saying if she's, I'm sure she's not up this early, but if she is and she'd like to call and justify her remarks, feel free. It's about the only way she's going to get on this show because I would never invite her to the show. Ms. Liss said she supports Roe v. Wade decision that made abortion legal, but backed a House Bill 5711, which would have criminalized attempts to coerce women into having an abortion, as well as requiring many abortion providers to carry substantial liability insurance and meet the same standards as surgical clinics. She said Ms. Brown's use of the word vagina in her floor speech was fine. It wasn't what they said. It was the manner in which they said it. Really? Really? That's what it was? She asked to explain what she meant. Lesia Liss struggled to find the words. It was her tone, her mannerism, she said, how she presented the topic. Sounds like an excuse. Ms. Liss noted that Rep. Rashida Tlaib made a pointed statement calling for women to withhold sex from men until majority Republicans agreed to drop the bill but was not banned from speaking. I don't see this as women being silent, she said. Well, it is. It's exactly what it was, Lesia Liss. Ms. Liss said that she has been inundated with hate mail in recent days for her vote, and several Democrats have blasted her after her husband Mark was quoted in a Detroit Free Press story in which he appeared to speak on her behalf about why she supported the legislation. This is the part you're going to love, folks. She said that when the reporter called, it was 10:30 at night, and she was asleep. Her husband is friends with the reporter and did not realize he was on the record with comments that would make the paper, she said. Now, when you're talking to a reporter, unless you say these words, are we off the record? You are not off the record. In August, Ms. Liss faces a tough battle for renomination in her Democratic primary against fellow Representative John Swetolski, who we are now endorsing. It's our first, well, it's not our first endorsement, but we certainly will endorse John. She said she did not know how her involvement in this controversy would play. Quoting her, I was not going to speak on this. I don't want to be involved in the conversation. I don't side with the rest of the women in my caucus. I didn't want to speak against them, but I feel I have to now because the truth is not being told. And you didn't tell the truth either. Imagine that, Lesia Liss. You're an embarrassment to the Democratic Party. Please join the Republicans. Because I'm sure that you'll have a primary there as well. You see, this is the problem in places like this certain section of Warren. Lesia Liss is a Republican, but if she runs as a Republican, she can't get elected. So she runs as a Democrat, even though she is wearing Republican clothing. And it's just wrong to misrepresent who you are. It really is. So, you know, just be honest about it. So she joins Bob Constan as the dastardly six, who should be ashamed and embarrassed at the way they have represented themselves as Democrats. We'll remind you that not only did Planned Parenthood, but other organizations provided, because she said that she was pro-choice, provided a considerable amount of money, donations to her campaign that helped her get elected. Had she had been honest about her real feelings, none of that would have happened. What, you know what? What people won't do to get elected. What a shame. Lesia, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be absolutely ashamed of yourself. I'm ashamed, certainly ashamed that you call yourself a Democrat, because you are not one. Real Democrats don't do this kind of stuff. Well, we'll move on, but we will not forget. We're going to get John Switalski on here real soon. Real soon. Okay. There's an ongoing, quote-unquote, controversy, and it's only a controversy because the conservatives just don't know how to let something go, and they don't know how to let it go. An asshat reporter from the escort service, I'm sorry, it's not an escort service, from the conservative website, The Daily Caller, rudely interrupted President Obama when he made a significant announcement last week about, giving people a path to legalizing being here in the United States and getting working permits and visas and all that. His justification for it continues to be suspect because he claims again, and it's been repeated a million times, that he thought the president was at the end of his remarks, which he wasn't. He continued to interrupt him, even though he wasn't done with his remarks, so that just doesn't fly. Anyway, Jeff has labeled this the five debates interrupting the president. Just listen to...
That's the name of the show is called The Five.
The Five, okay. Just listen to this justification, and we'll talk about it.
The left just couldn't help themselves. They had to twist the simple question of whether it's acceptable to interrupt the president into this. Sam Donaldson went there in an email to Huffington Post. Mr. Donaldson wrote, quote, "Many on the political right believe this president ought not be there. They oppose him not for his policies and political view, but for who he is, an African American." Bob, what's with the liberals? Always playing the race card. All right, so there are two issues here. Was the guy right, Mr. Monroe right, in questioning the president? Was he right in the method of doing it? And was Sam Donaldson right to bring in the race card?
Well, it sort of depends. Sometimes a president will take questions after a statement. Sometimes he won't. Sometimes you can shout a question at a president and he'll take it. Usually you don't do it in the middle of somebody's statement. It's more like sort of as it's ending. I understand their frustration that you have a big announcement that was the questions being why now? The timing was in question, and they probably had a feeling that Obama wasn't going to answer any questions, and so maybe that got the best of him. But at least nobody threw a shoe at a president.
Good point.
You kind of remember that.
I'm so against this kind of navel gazing. Do you think the left ever sits around and go, "Hey, I wonder if we were too hard on President Bush"?
Nope.
That never happens. This only happens because
they navel gaze and say they weren't hard enough.
Exactly. And the fact is that you're seeing the media again defend the president. And you would never see this happening with
the president.
Can I just say one thing? It's not racism. It's called presidentism. If you become president, you take your lumps. Right, especially if you wrote two biographies in your 40s.
Whatever. It is racism. You're just uncomfortable with it. You know, we've had this conversation how many different ways? They'll call him a socialist because they can't call him the N-word. They'll call him a fascist because they can't call him the N-word. I mean, they're going to find different things to call the president because they can't call him the N-word. And that's the bottom line. I realize that it's difficult for white Republican men to just figure to deal with the fact that we got them figured out. We do, and that's what makes them uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable with the I want to go with the second soundbite first, Jeff. Talks about how Obama always leaves the podium quickly. Listen to this stupid justification.
Yeah, the trick is to get him just before he leaves the podium, because as soon as he finishes, he's a very good speaker, walks beautifully, and he's gone into the Oval Office. We've seen this happen lots of times. He'll finish his statements, and flick, he's gone. I was hoping to get him just at the end, right or wrong, and, I didn't.
All right, have you heard from the White House? Do you expect any type of retribution? Did you try to apologize? Is there any update to the situation?
I did ask if the White House people wanted to talk to me, but I haven't heard back. I shall proceed on per normal. I'm working on new stories, working on new angles, see what there is.
Yes, the Daily Caller, something that I know that we're all beating a path to on our web browsers, right? Yeah, I'm sure they're loving the publicity. You know, doesn't it say something, though, that the White House hasn't said a word to him? I think that says something about how professional our White House is. Neil Monroe goes on to say that he hasn't noticed that the media piles on President Obama. This is what he had to say.
The beating up, largely because I'm focusing on my work. I went to the White House knowing the extremely high unemployment rate among African Americans. I wrote an article showing that less than half of African American men aged 18 to 29 have full-time jobs. And the president was making this extraordinary announcement about bringing in more, a million or so new workers in a time of extraordinary high unemployment. They held no press conference that day. They weren't holding questions. I was hoping he would answer a question. But the only way to ask him a question at these events is to get him at the end as he's leaving, just before he dashes back to the Oval Office. And I mistimed it. I thought I was getting him at the end. Frankly, I was wrong about that. Yeah. He didn't answer my questions, and when I asked him, will you answer any questions, he didn't answer. So I gave up at that point and waited till the end of the speech statement, and then I called out the question again as he turned his back on us.
Are you saying...
Oh, Sean Hannity. What a beautiful guy. Actually, when we come back, Hannity tries to make a point that gets really lost on this radio show host. I'd lost in a big way. But we'll come back and talk about that. That's ridiculous. There is such a double standard amongst the conservative media. 888-552-3595. Feel free to join us if you've got something on your mind. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Truppiano. A quick break. We'll come back and wrap up this hour right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this lying down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. us already.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Crazy stuff. Very quickly, before I get to the phones, Sean Hannity, during the interview, claims that, let's go back a couple decades, that Ronald Reagan was interrupted by the press. And I want you to pay attention, because there's a, it's not that difficult to point out. What Neil Monroe did the other day, he claims he was anticipating the end of the speech, which wasn't even close to being the end. So that's a problem. But listen, pay attention to what happens when Reagan's done speaking here. Go ahead and play that audio.
Let's take a look at this tape. And this is President Reagan when he was discussing the issue and handing off the issue of the Iran-Contra issue to his attorney general at the time, Ed Meese. Watch this.
And now I'm going to ask Attorney General Meese to brief you.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No, and I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General Meese to brief you on what we presently know.
All right, we can go ahead and stop that. Now, it's clear that he was done speaking because he was turning it over to Attorney General Meese. So he was done talking. You gotta compare apples to apples. This is such a conservative ploy. 888-552-3595. My good friend Amir in Detroit joins us now. Hello, my brother. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, it really kills me that everybody keep hollering about President Obama and jobs, President Obama and jobs. You know what? We're talking about President Obama and jobs. Talk about this retarded Congress we got. When y'all going to ask them some questions, all these retarded so-called conservative reporters, why Congress is not passing any bill to do anything about jobs? Yes, the DREAM Act that President Obama enacted basically said he will basically enforce through not deporting people in that's within that threshold. Yeah, it might open up, bring more million people for jobs, but if the Republican Congress acted on the jobs bill, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had Brad Woodhouse on the show yesterday, Amir, who is the communications director for the Democratic National Committee, and he asked John Boehner this weekend to get off the bus because he's on the bus tour. He was in Ohio. He asked him to get off the bus and go back to work. The reality, and you bring up an important point, Amir, the reality is the Republican-controlled Congress refuses to talk about the president's jobs program. Now, I know why they're refusing to talk about it, because it would actually create jobs, and they don't want him to get credit for that. So let's just be honest about it and at least say, hey, listen, we're not going to give him credit for creating jobs that we don't want to give him credit for, because we know that's the truth anyway.
Right, but, you know, the funny thing is how in any of the anybody listening to this radio, if you're a Republican, please go to another country. Go to Mexico. Go to Somalia. You know, Mexico has very limited government. Somalia has no government. You know, when these people talk about government, as a matter of fact, isn't Mexico's government really controlled by the drug cartels and big corporations? So is that what they want for America?
I don't know that they know what they want for America. And, Amir, I appreciate your call. I think what most Republicans or conservatives want for America, I think what most conservatives and most Republicans want is to make sure they're okay first. I've said this on the program many times. You know, we wake up in the morning as Democrats and we say, what can we do to help our brother? What can we do to help our community? What can we do to help each other? Republicans wake up in the morning and say, what can I do to help myself? And that really is their mindset. They need to protect theirs. They need to make sure that their savings account's okay. They don't care if, as long as they got a job and they've got health care, that's all that matters to them. They don't care if the neighbor does. They don't care if somebody in another community does. As long as they've got what they need, they're fine. And we all know that's true. I'm not speaking out of school. I'm not saying anything that isn't common knowledge. It is true. And as Mitt Romney works his way through the state today, and certainly will be surrounding himself with, quote-unquote, like-minded people, be mindful that if we are to pay attention to what Mitt Romney's saying, he would love to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Do you know how many people that would harm? That one policy initiative alone? Do you know how many millions of people that would harm? He claims, or well, he wouldn't actually give an answer when asked over the weekend what he would do with immigration. Well, we need a long-term solution. Okay, well, does that mean that you're going to get rid of... I didn't say that. I'm not saying that. I'm not, you know, not saying anything. Mitt Romney doesn't stand for anything. As we determined yesterday, all he talks about is getting rid of President Obama. He doesn't talk about what he's going to do. He doesn't talk about his policies or in his initiatives because they're the same old. I mean, I yesterday told you the Wall Street Journal reported, yes, the very conservative Wall Street Journal reported that two of Paul Ryan's top economic staffers are now part of the Romney campaign. We know that Paul Ryan's quote unquote budget would take us back decades. They don't care. They're Republicans. They don't care. By the way, you rank and file Republicans that listen to this show, if we were to adopt the Ryan budget plan, it would affect you. You would no longer have the benefits that you enjoy, which were, by the way, fought and paid for with the blood of union men and women. You do know that, right? Of course you do. You just like to conveniently ignore it. I've got to tell you, it's really interesting. I've noticed this. She hasn't noticed it. Maybe she has noticed it. I don't think she has, though. There's this woman that posts to my Facebook page, and every time she posts, I delete her post because she is just she's the original asshat. And the reason I delete her posts is because they have absolutely nothing. She says nothing that's based in truth or reality, and I'm so tired of just bitch slapping her down because that's exactly, and I feel bad doing it, so I don't want to do it anymore. So I just delete her post. It's my Facebook page. I can delete anything I want or leave whatever I want. And I no longer want to leave her posts up. So I literally, every time she posts, I get rid of her post. I don't think she's quite figured it out yet. And I've been doing it for the better part of a month, and she doesn't do it that often, a lot less often than she used to. And it's not that I'm trying to edit her or stifle her, because Facebook is a big piece of real estate. She's got her own Facebook page. Go pollute your own stuff. Go pollute your own friends. But I did myself a little favor. I went over to her Facebook page early this morning just to see what she posts on that. And she does post very slanted, conservative points of view. None of it's fact, all opinion. And I was stunned to learn that even her quote-unquote friends find her to be an asset. And I'll leave it there. We got a lot to get to yet this morning. We're going to clean action water in the next hour. Looking forward to that a great deal. It should be interesting. I don't know much about coal ash, but we're going to learn about it. Zenobia Jeffries with the Michigan Citizen is with us. Chris Mihalakis a little later on. Lots to talk about with Chris. So stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll continue after we take this top of the hour break. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, nothing to report. We just got lots of construction. 275 northbound between 94 and the 96 M14 split. Going to be reduced down to two lanes. 75 northbound between the Davidson and McNichols. Got planned road construction today. That goes until 3 p.m. Also on 94 eastbound at Gratiot, left lane is going to be closed until 11 o'clock today. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. All eyes on the Fed this morning. Wall Street hoping policymakers will give the economy a new round of stimulus at their meeting in Washington today. At the economic summit in Mexico, President Obama hailing the pro-bailout election in Greece as a positive sign for the world economy.
Indicates a positive prospect for not only them forming a government, but also them working constructively with their international partners.
The president's Affordable Care Act appears to be working for younger Americans. Stats show more than 3 million ages 19 through 25 now have health insurance through their parents' policies, up 11% in a year. About 75% in that age group now have health coverage. And Korean Air is apologizing to Kenya for describing the Kenyan people as filled with primitive energy in one of its ads. Some miffed residents in Nairobi called it a national insult, although one Kenyan tweets that he's going lion hunting in protest. This is NBC News Radio. Fire crews in northern Colorado have the High Park wildfire 50% contained. The massive blaze has charred more than 58,000 acres and has reduced 189 structures to ashes. Chalk up a big win for Roger Clemens, the baseball great found not guilty on all counts of lying to Congress about steroid use. NBC's Pete Williams.
It's a setback for the Justice Department's long-running attempt to prosecute the use of steroids.
The big question now, will Clemens make it to the Hall of Fame? A new study says the Great Recession sent state pensions deeper into red, only 34 states reaching the commonly accepted level for pension funding. And aches and pains got you down? Slap on a patch. USA Today reports those painkilling patches are gaining in popularity, with aging baby boomers leading the way using patches for those aching joints. The cost may be a pain, though. A pack of five will cost you $9. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle, sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Narrowman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That will free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the internet!
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
The new retail strategy embraced by JCPenney this year turned out to be way off target. It was spearheaded by former Target exec Michael Francis, hired as Penney's president 8 months ago. Now Francis is gone. No official reason given, but speculation is near unanimous that he's been forced out by Penney, whose profits and sales have fallen since the strategy of no sales, just lower prices all the time, was implemented. Throughout our economic downturn, our charitable giving has remained a constant, not in real dollars, but in the percentage of our income, 1.9%. And that means in 2008 and 2009, total giving did drop. But in 2011, it started to come back. The Giving USA Foundation and Indiana University Center on Philanthropy report that Americans collectively gave $298 billion to charity last year, 4% more than the year before. Asian markets a little down today, European markets up. S&P futures rising 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee. keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
Americans are talking about energy.
They know we need energy from all sources.
To put Americans back to work.
And keep our nation secure.
Developing domestic energy.
American oil and natural gas.
Advanced technologies are making it possible.
Protecting the environment.
The new era of energy security.
Americans are becoming energy voters.
They're voting to re-energize America.
They're voting for American energy.
Learn more at voteforenergy.org.
Brought to you by the American Petroleum Institute.
Newman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-83.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now,
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. We are ready to lead, and lead we will in this hour at 7:35, just about 30 minutes from now. Zenobia Jeffries, the managing editor at the Michigan Citizen, will be my guest. I look forward to meeting her for the first time. She comes to us through a listener email. I want you to know that a great many of our guests come to us as a result of listener emails, so keep that in mind as you think, you know, I should let Tony know about fill in the blank, because, folks, that's how many of our guests end up here. Well, our next guest comes to us from our friends at Progress Michigan. I want to go quickly to her. Joining us now is Susan Harley. Susan is an amazing lawyer, but beyond that, she is the Michigan Policy Director for Clean Water Action. Susan received her Bachelor of Arts from Michigan State University and received her J.D. cum laude from in public law and regulation from MSU's College of Law. Susan has been working with Clean Water Action for 4 years with a concentration on the intersection of water and energy policy. She serves as a member of Michigan's Wetlands Advisory Council, and she is a member of the State Bar of Michigan. And now she is a guest on First Shift. We welcome Susan Harley, too, First Shift. A pleasure to have you with us this morning. Susan, how are you today?
I'm great, Tony. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's my pleasure. You know, when this kind of crossed our desks, I'm going to be honest, okay, I don't know anything about this topic, so to me it made sense to have this conversation today. So you're going to have to kind of be a little bit of an instructor, if you don't mind, today, Susan.
Oh, I don't mind. That's our that's what we're looking to do, is let the public know about coal ash in the state and across the USA.
Well, I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but I'm assuming coal ash is the waste product of burning coal for energy. Is that right or no?
That's absolutely correct. It is also known as coal combustion waste, but it is one of the largest industrial waste streams that we have in the nation.
And, of course, we want to send the message this morning that we need to kick a little coal ash, right?
That's absolutely the message. Coming up on Thursday is the 2-year anniversary of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announcing that they will move forward on rules to protect public health from coal ash, and we still don't have anything finalized. So this week around the nation, we are informing the public about the dangers of coal ash and getting people involved in the fight to get the EPA to take action.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I don't think people realize how much and how many communities burn coal to create energy. But the other part of that, Susan Hartley, is I don't think people understand that once that coal is burned, that ash has to end up somewhere. Where is it ending up?
So in Michigan, we have a couple of options. One of the options is to put it in a municipal landfill, similar to the way we treat our other types of trash. Other options include something called a Type 3 low hazardous industrial waste site, of which there are at least 15 in the state. Additionally, the coal ash can be used as part of road projects to fill the road bed before the asphalt is laid. Variety of options, some obviously much safer than others. The coal ash type 3 landfills have some protections, but really what we're looking to do is make sure that all of these sites have liners as well as collection systems for the liquid waste and groundwater monitoring. So Michigan is better off compared to the rest of the nation. Many states have coal ash dumped into unlined pits, into mines, into basically ponds. So what we've seen in the past is these ponds can rupture, similar to what happened back in 2008 in Tennessee, where several hundred acres were covered in coal ash after a dam ruptured and that coal ash spilled out. We also saw a spill back in 2011 in Wisconsin where a lot of coal ash was also dumped into Lake Michigan. So these sites are out there and in some instances have this potential for rupture outside of their containment areas.
And I'm assuming, and we shouldn't do that, but I'm assuming at some level that that coal ash has both toxic and contaminant properties to them.
That's right. It's scary stuff, honestly. I think a lot of people are familiar with the toxic nature of arsenic, and that's very prevalent in coal ash. But there's some other contaminants like hexavalent chromium, that chemical that was made so famous by Aaron Brockovich. So that is also present in coal ash, as well as things like mercury, lead, a toxic chemical called selenium that's been shown to cause mutations in fish. So now we're seeing some fish nearby coal ash storage areas that have crooked spines and multiple eyes. And so really very, very toxic. And the EPA has shown that people living near coal ash sites, if they're drinking water contaminated with things like arsenic from that coal ash site, they can get cancer, and they have been getting cancer in rates as high as 1 in 50 people. And this coal ash is less regulated by the federal government than our household trash. So it's really far, something that we've been looking for a long time from the EPA are these rules that would put in place public health protections for the storage of coal ash.
Well, I know that there's a National Day of Action plan. So, Susan Hartley, could you tell us when that is and what we can do to get involved with it?
Thanks. That's great. It's coming up this Thursday, the 21st, and so there will be a number of press conferences around the nation, and we're having a couple here in Michigan as well. That's to get out the word. Now, if people who are your listeners on the show want to get involved, if they have a Twitter account, the social media tool, they can tweet using the hashtag KickCoalAsh. So you can follow the conversation, become part of the conversation, let the EPA and Congress know that we want these safeguards in place for coal ash storage so we don't see these cancer clusters or other health impacts from leaking coal ash sites.
Is there a place where we can get a list of where the waste sites are? I think that this is going to be one of those things, Susan, where people are going to want to know how close is one to where my water supply is.
Clean Water Action is in the process of putting together those materials. It's something that has not really been tracked by many groups or really the state. So that data hasn't been finalized. But in the Southeast Michigan area, there are coal ash sites down in Monroe, in Erie at the Whiting plant. There's the Sibley Quarry and the Range Road coal ash disposal area. So that's just, you know, four in the Southeast Michigan area. What you can do is you can go to an organization called Earth Justice. That's earthjustice.org, and they have a map of the known contamination sites. So right now we have four known contamination sites in Michigan, and one of those is in Southeast Michigan in Erie, that Whiting plant, where it was shown to put contaminants into Lake Erie that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service found to be potentially harmful for aquatic species. So that's out there, but it's really a process of learning and reporting on this. So that's what we're doing right now.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, Susan Harley, the mainstream media ultimately ignores at a greater level the dangers, the risks, and frankly, just the educational aspects of talking about coal and coal ash and all of these sites. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing that this isn't part of our more regular lexicon, and it should be. I do want to also send people to the Clean Water website, and it's cleanwater.org/Michigan. That's cleanwater.org/MI. I'm sorry. And that'll get you some great information as well. And I want to thank you, Susan Harley, for being with us this morning and educating this audience on the importance of coal ash. Again, you can follow the conversation on Twitter. The Thursday is the National Day of Action, and that'll be hashtag Kick Coal Ash. Kick Coal Ash, and I just love saying that. So there we go, Susan. That's just the way it is.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, and I can't wait to see who joins the conversation on Thursday, and we'll keep you updated on the process of finding out how Michigan stacks up against the rest of the state.
Well, we do appreciate that. I want to thank you for your time again this morning, Susan Harley. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. Susan Harley, the Michigan Policy Director for Clean Water Action. Again, you're going to find them online at cleanwater.org/MI. When we come back, getting response via email to Vaginagate, which is what one of my listeners called it, one of my passionate listeners called it, Vaginagate. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you're at the state capitol last night, we'd love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. Let's take a quick break here. First Shift will continue right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trigiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive as the volumes start to pick up. We got slowdowns over on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. Slow go on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. And the same thing on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 and 14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96, and it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
Yeah, you gotta love the hate. Jeff, somebody just sent me, a hater sent me, and man, oh man, talking about people following your every move. Someone said I have to stop licking my lips. It's driving them crazy listening to me lick my lips. Maybe I'm doing it and not realizing it. So now all of a sudden I'm self-conscious. But there was also a hate message that went along with that. So maybe I'm not doing it, and they're just trying to make me feel self-conscious. Do I sound a little paranoid yet? Do I?
Just a little.
Wow. All right. So you were nice enough to post information on coal ash. Somebody responded. I got to read this to you, Jeff, if you didn't see it yet. Did you see it?
No, I did not.
When I grew up in Alpena, I don't want to say the name of the company out loud, used to deliver free landfill or fly ash to anyone who wanted it. My dad filled in the wetlands near our house with it. Instant yard. Now apparently they need special people in special suits to get rid of that stuff. Dough. Yeah, you got it. You got it, Bill. That's scary stuff. You know, the amount of things that we think we know that we don't. And that's one of them. And maybe that's just me. Maybe a lot of people know about coal ash and just don't talk about it, but I didn't know a lot about it, and I know a lot more now than I did. I want to quickly mention two other things. Maybe I need to lighten up, but Jeff, I've actually mentioned this to you off the air a couple times. There's a guy that calls my office during the show. He's a candidate for the State House. And the reason I haven't had him on the show yet is he keeps on calling my office during the show saying, why is it every time I call the radio station, no one answers? Because it's not the radio station. And I guess I'm now beginning to believe he doesn't listen to the show. He just thinks that if he's calling my office. Now, here's, and maybe it's just me. If he knows I'm on the air, why is he calling me? Is this not a little weird?
That is more than a little weird.
I'm sorry.
Because we answer the phone when the phone rings.
It's here. Not you. He's calling my office.
I know, but I mean the insinuation that like we have caller ID here. The phone rings, we answer.
No,
that's how it goes.
No, the insinuation is, why does he keep calling this number and nobody answers it? Because it's the office. In fact, if you listen to the voicemail message, it says you have reached the office of the Tony Trupiano Show. The office of. Maybe people don't get that I don't work out of my office during the show. Because I used to, but he wouldn't know that. Oh, sweet Jesus. God bless you all. Not every candidate is worthy of airtime. By the way, we have exciting news. We're going to have all three of the Supreme Court Justice nominees on the show coming up. As you know, because you've been in on the email chain, but we're working on that, so I'm looking forward to that. I'd ask, and if actually if there is anybody right now either going to work or just doing your thing in the morning that went to the state capitol last night, there were, depending on what reports you read, 3,000 to over 5,000 people at the state capitol. So whatever you want to believe. I don't understand why they have such a hard time estimating how many people show up at this stuff, but they do. 888-552-3595. My friend Linda was there. Linda's amazing. Linda actually sent me, Jeff, an awesome magnet that I'm going to put on the truck. It's you're going to laugh, but it says I bark for Obama, and it's a picture of Obama's dog. Oh, never mind. Vinny liked it. That's all I have to say. Anyway, Linda writes, I was so glad I was there last night. She told me she went with some friends. We were thrilled to see thousands of supporters. It gave me hope that so many young people and so many men who are supporters of free speech and pro-choice. The guy next to me said that if the kid in kindergarten cop who was 6 years old could say vagina and penis, why can't Lisa Brown? Good point. There was so much passion, excitement, and energy amongst the crowd. I was happy. It was a happy time, and it felt reassuring to be with others who feel as we do. How awesome is that? To have permission and not just say vagina, but to hear the message that's great to be a woman and to be proud of who you are. I couldn't agree more. The signs were great. We were there not only to support Lisa Brown and Barb Byram, but I'd like to think we started a movement last night, a movement that was culminated in 1973 in the Supreme Court's decision of Roe v. Wade that we thought was settled law. Last night, thousands turned out to reaffirm that we will not stand by as Republicans attempt to silence women. It was women last night standing among children, men, religious leaders, all ethnicities, shouting vagina and feeling so empowered and proud. Wish you had been there, but felt your spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I was there in spirit, no question about it. And need to tell you that I said a prayer for everybody that was there last night, as I said my evening prayers. And I am so glad that a couple other emails that came in, everybody feeling quite empowered this morning. One lady wrote, I'm glad I went. I am so tired, but I've never been so happy to feel this exhausted in my life. Good. Good, good, good. I am so pleased that it went well. I'm beyond pleased. Now, what happens is a really good question. Now, normally tomorrow we would have Lori Lamarand on from Planned Parenthood, but I am actually traveling today and hoping to be doing. I say hoping because I still don't have all the equipment in place. So, hoping to do a remote tomorrow from Black Lake up at the UAW Retreat Center, Education Center. Where they've invited me to participate in a political discussion. And then I'll be back in the studio on Thursday. So I'm hoping that tomorrow everything works out the way we are planning it to. I'm waiting for some equipment to drop. It's supposed to drop at some point today. I'm going to need to make a decision. If it's not here by noonish or so, I'm going to have an issue.
That's some good slang. That's a good radio slang or lingo there.
What's that?
Waiting for the equipment to drop.
Well,
you know, like waiting for the hot CD to drop. I like it.
Yeah, I just, I'm a little worried now because the people that I bought the equipment from sent me an email comfortably early in the day yesterday that said, hey, we're just waiting for the shipping information. Once we've got it, we'll be happy to pass it along to you, and then that way you'll know when it's going to come. I said, okay, cool, no problem. Well, then it occurred to me after the insane part of my day was over with, which was about 4:35 o'clock, that I never got that return email, and then I got tied up with something else, and by the time I got back to my email, it was way after business hours. So I sent an email, said, please tell me that you just forgot to send the shipping information yesterday. Please tell me that, please. And, of course, it's still too early for anybody to respond to that email, so I'm hoping and praying that that equipment will drop today. If it doesn't drop today, then I'm off to Black Lake, and you'll be doing a Best of Tomorrow with Anthony.
Or we'll just host our own variety show.
Yes, there is always that. Hey, feel free. Feel absolutely free to do that.
The Vagina Monologues Part 2.
Yes, done by men. That would be fascinating, especially if it were you and Anthony.
You can only imagine.
If with that one, I can only. With you and Anthony doing it, now that would be. I would actually stay here just to hear that. I would certainly be listening to the stream. There's no question that's true. Zenobia Jeffries, the managing editor of the Michigan Citizen, when we continue, stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano, and this is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive as the volumes start to pick up, we got slowdowns over on 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. Slow go on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75, and the same thing on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 and 14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96, and it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A new global labor federation is being formed that will represent 50 million workers in 140 countries. Industrial was endorsed Monday by the International Textiles, Garment, and Leather Workers Federation. Two other federations, the International Metal Workers and the International Federation of Chemical, Energy, Mine, and General Workers, have also approved formation of this new global union. More than 1,400 delegates from the labor organizations met in Denmark to create the new global labor federation. The AFL-CIO says 2,000 workers recently joined affiliated unions. They include college professors, cable TV installers, and employees at donut shops, a hotel, and in telecommunications. They include nearly 300 workers at the Merck Independent Union who voted to affiliate with OPEIU. More than 1,000 nurses in the New York Professional Nurses Union voted to affiliate with the AFL-CIO union, National Nurses United. 93 workers at Durham School Services in Grandview, Missouri also voted to join the Teamsters. More than 34,000 school bus drivers, monitors, aides, attendants, and mechanics have joined the Teamsters since 2006 in that union's Drive Up Standards campaign. The Supreme Court split mostly along the lines of ideology with a ruling on overtime for salespeople. Jesse Russell reports.
In a win for GlaxoSmithKline, who said overtime pay shouldn't apply to outside sales personnel, the 5-4 Supreme Court ruling flips a ruling by the 2nd U.S. District Court of Appeals, which ruled those employees were covered by overtime laws. The case stems from a U.S. Labor Department decision in 2009 that said the overtime exemption shouldn't apply when the salespeople are making doctor and clinical visits to promote the company's drugs. The employees making the case alleged they'd work on average 10 to 20 hours overtime per week. The dissenting justices argued that the employees do not meet the definition of outside salesmen as defined by fair labor standards.
Working America, an AFL-CIO community affiliate for non-union workers, is opening new offices in Virginia and in Missouri. Working America is active in more than a dozen states in efforts to organize and mobilize working-class people who aren't in unions.
Ford Motor Company workers in England went on a 24-hour strike over pay and pension cuts. The white-collar workers walked off the job to protest lowering pay rates while denying new hires access to the company's defined benefit plan. Ford said it made the decision to stay competitive with other UK businesses. According to a recent report, nearly 80% of private firms in the UK are denying defined pension benefits to new hires. Workers Independent News is made possible in part through underwriting from the OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union, and by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. As I said earlier on in the show, so many of our great guests come from listeners, and this guest is no different. One of my passionate listeners, somebody that really pays attention, shows up, stands up, reached out to me and said, I follow a journalist who really seems to have it down. And what they meant by that was understands the truth and the importance of reporting the truth. Just so happens that this person is involved in one of my favorite publications, and that's the Michigan Citizen. Joining me now is the managing editor of the Michigan Citizen, Zenobia Jeffries. And Zenobia, I want to thank you for joining us this morning on First Shift.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It is truly my pleasure, and we have so much to talk about, and so I just want to, I kind of want to jump in and I want to talk about, you know, I have on, as a regular guest on this show, State Representative Harvey Santana, who, as you are well aware, was chastised by his colleagues for having the audacity to stand up to a disastrous bill that came out of the House that I'm happy to say got stalled in the Senate. And I'm happy to say that. I think you agree with me, do you not, Zenobia?
I do agree with you, and I love Harvey for that, too. He's very passionate. I was able to speak to him the following day and to talk about it. And he said, can you believe that we've debated longer on hog hunting, Zenobia? He's like, I can't believe this. Like, all the people of the city of Detroit aren't as important as hog hunting.
Now, what we're talking about, of course, is privatizing the Detroit Public Lighting Department, which, again, would be disastrous. And we'll talk about why that is in a moment. But I do have to tell you, as I was watching the Zenobia work its way through the House, and, of course, we don't know what's going on behind those closed doors, and there was stuff going on behind the closed doors. It does make you wonder, especially the Democrats that were fully in favor of privatizing the lighting department. What the hell was in it for them?
Right. Well, what the package of bills does is there's three, right? There's the House bill that came out by that was sponsored by state, which is a Detroit rep, Maureen Stapleton. And that bill actually creates an authority. So an authority for of about 41 municipalities that own and operate their own lighting systems, which would be Detroit. Although it's for these 41 municipalities, Detroit, actually, it's a lot of Detroit-specific language in these bills. Then there's the two other bills, the utility users tax, which also came out of the House, and now Senator Burt Johnson's bill on income tax. And so all three of those are in the Senate now. And what happened on Thursday before they broke for recess is there was an amendment that came from the Republicans. And one of the things that Maureen Stapleton was trying to sell her bill on is that it allows for Detroiters to govern themselves. So this five-member board for the authority would be all Detroiters. Well, the amendment that came through on Thursday was for the governor to have three appointments on the bill, which is what stalled it. So it was interesting because everyone's saying, you know, why would Lansing be interested in Detroit, the public lighting department? I mean, why else would they be? But this amendment right here that came through at the last minute from Richardville says that it's three appointments from the governor. One the governor would make. All three the governor would make, but two are recommendations from the Senate Majority Leader and then the House Speaker.
Yeah, but Zenobia, we know a recommendation is just that. It's just a recommendation, and it doesn't come with any kind of guarantee that the governor will, of course, take up that recommendation.
Right.
And that is a reason to be concerned.
Absolutely.
Well, as we, you know, let's also talk about some of the controversy that surrounded this legislation is that it would actually not only permanently turn off some lights, but permanently remove, literally physically remove some of the streetlights in the city, making some neighborhoods that are already dark even darker. I mean, there's something seriously wrong about this.
There is, and a lot of the citizens they're trying to sell the citizens for it because they're saying this is going to get the lights back on, but they're not. Right now, the city has 88,000 working, 88,000 lights. And it's my understanding from the documents that I've seen from the city that 56,000 lights work. Well, by the end of this plan that the city has come out with, only 46,000 lights are going to work. And so that's not making the streets brighter. That's not increasing the lights in the city. It's actually shrinking the areas that would have lights. I mean, so there'll be less lights in the city by the time this plan is enacted under this authority.
And Zenobia Jeffries is my guest, managing editor of the Michigan Citizen. Zenobia, I think this is a legitimate question. Let's say that I live in a part of the city where I am now one of very few people that perhaps lives in a 10-block section. My lights get turned off, and I know they're not coming back on. My services have gone away, and I know they're not coming back on. And you and I both know there are parts of the city now where they don't even come pick up the garbage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So how long before I say I'm paying the same amount of taxes as somebody that has the same services that I'm not getting before there's a revolution?
And the scary thing is, I mean, the revolution should have already started. I don't know if it's the apathy. I don't know if people are just going away or if they're going to, I mean, we're turning on each other is what it seems like instead of demanding, you know, from our our elected officials to do something about it. And what they're doing is just not helpful. And one of the things that Harvey, he had an amendment for the bill that they didn't hear. And it was to address that, those citizens who live in these areas on the outskirts of the city that they're, I mean, and we can still say they want to use the word shaping now, but it's still shrinking because there'll be, like you say, parts of the city without lights. I mean, you can't exist without these services. So his amendment was to address that by moving these residents that wouldn't have lights in these areas into the areas that would. Well, that wasn't heard. And there was also a bill by another state rep that was just tossed out because of this bill that did pass that also addressed the other citizens. And there's nothing in this plan that the mayor has and nothing in this legislation that addresses those citizens.
Nope.
So, you know, it's kind of scary.
Well, there's no question, Zenobia Jeffries, as we take a look at everything that led up to this legislation and then everything that happened after the fact. And, of course, we had Harvey on the show the day after it was reported that this happened, of course, on a Friday or a Thursday. We had him on the show not until the following Monday, where he explained in detail what his concerns were, that he, again, was penalized for wanting to protect the people that he was elected to protect. It seems to me that maybe he's being picked on a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, and it's him, and then there's another state rep who seems to stand up for his constituents as well, and that's John Alumba. He wasn't penalized in any kind of way, but well, not on the floor anyway, but it seems like those state reps who do stand up and speak out and don't go along with, you know, the status quo, that they're reprimanded somehow.
Yeah, there's no question that both of those certainly share some similar characteristics. Unfortunately, share some similar characteristics. And at a time when the city needs champions, people that are going to stand up for them. You know, Harvey and I have talked about, you know, sometimes his frustration. You know, when you're a member of the city council, although I'm very disappointed with this current leadership in the city council.
Yes, definitely.
You know, when you're a member of the city council and somebody comes up to you, you know, Harvey knocks a lot of doors, as you know, Zenobia. And when somebody talks to him about what's really a city council issue, he doesn't say, well, that's not my issue. No, he, of course he wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. He stands there, he listens, and then he tries to direct them to whatever resource that he knows is available, or he'll connect them to a member of the city council that, that might be able to help him. But that, you know, I understand his frustration because, you know, he's there as a representative, a state representative, not as a member of the city council. Yet if I'm living in the city of Detroit, not that we don't appreciate what's happening in Lansing, but for most of these folks, it's what's happening at City Hall that matters most.
Absolutely. And our, I mean, it's sad, too, the representation that the residents of the city of Detroit have on the city council, actually. I was down there on yesterday for the public safety committee meeting, and they were talking about, there was a group from the east side, believe that's Alumba's district, had come down because they were concerned about the, you know, the lack of lights as well as the blighted homes. And they had about 200 homes, I believe, on their list that were just terribly abandoned, burned out, and they're, you know, what are we all going to do about it? And it was, well, this isn't our issue. You know, number one, it was funding. You know, they all couldn't stress, the, you know, the lack of funding enough. But then the other thing was, you know, take it to the mayor. This isn't our issue. The mayor has a meeting June 27th that evening, you know, take this issue to him. And so I spoke to a couple of the residents as they were leaving, and they were disappointed because they felt like, you know, that their concerns weren't really addressed.
And that has been an ongoing problem. Let's need to get to a break here in just a minute, but before before we do that, you know, one of the things that we certainly need to talk about when we come back, Zenobia Jeffries, is what happened with Crystal Crittenden, how she was treated, and and kind of the aftermath of that legal challenge. But before we get to the break, and I also want to invite some calls. I'll give the number out in just a second. Now, before we get to that, you know, it seems to me that we've had this amazing opportunity. And certainly whenever you're challenged, as the city of Detroit is, that should be presenting opportunities. And it's not that there aren't people that aren't stepping up to meet those challenges. It just seems to be very quickly now. It seems to me that this help is being ignored, or am I not seeing this properly?
No, can you repeat that last thing again, Charlie?
Yeah, that's okay. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back because we're up against the break. We'll come back and talk about that. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Truppiano. My guest is Zenobia Jeffries with the Michigan Citizen. We're going to take a break. A lot to get to when we continue on First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.com.
ttw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and there's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already seceded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools, they've already moved away from us.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very goodly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, the managing editor of the Michigan Citizen is my guest, Zenobia Jeffries. So we are going to go to the phone in just a moment, and then we'll get back to the question I asked before the break. I will remind you, if you'd like to join us, toll-free 888-552-3595. Zenobia, before we go any further, I really want to thank you for the generous amount of your time today.
No problem.
I really do appreciate it. Let's welcome my good friend and listener, Bamani, in Detroit to First Shift. Bamani, you're on the air with Zenobia Jeffries. Do we have Bamani there? There we go. You're on the air, my friend.
Okay, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, yeah, and hello to Miss Jeffries. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
And I'd like to say when I ran for city council, this Michigan Citizen did support me before the primary, so I really want to thank them for that. I wrote an article last week, and I don't know if they're going to publish it this week or not in the Michigan Citizen, but I talk about those five city council members who voted in favor of the consent agreement. And how they seem to be, I compared them to the five Supreme Court members who always seem to vote on the conservative side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and I thought those five city council members were similar to them. You know, they seem to be very conservative, and they always seem to acquiesce to the governor's power. You know, but I'm glad that you mentioned John Alumba, because I think he's a very strong advocate for Detroit, too, along with Harvey Santana. Right, and I just wondered if you had a comment about some of the Democrats who seem to be selling out the city of Detroit, and some of them who don't seem to be real Democrats. They seem to be Republicans. And John Alumba did get, he told me that a couple of months ago that they are reprimanding him to a certain degree because they won't allow him to hire any more people for his staff. You know, they told him that he was limited and said he couldn't put any more people on his staff, and that was like his punishment for bringing up the issue with Robert Ficano.
Mm-hmm,
so I just wondered what, you know, what were your opinions on that?
Well, Bamani, thank you for the call, my friend. Let's give Zenobia a chance to address some of that. And I don't know that I would necessarily use the word conservative, Zenobia, but I don't know that cautious is strong enough either. So maybe Bamani's right. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we definitely need better representation from the city of Detroit. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we did a piece a while back, too, just on the Democratic Party overall, and there just needs to be a restructuring, period. We absolutely have to have better representation coming out of the city of Detroit.
Well, you know, and when we take a look either at those that are going up to Lansing or those that are serving on the city council, you know, Zenobia, there have been a lot of challenges. People that are very passionate, like Bamani and others that listen to the show and call the show, they really feel like, you know, they help to get people elected, and then they get there and they're giving up. And that's I can see where that would be really frustrating for them.
Yeah, because you elect them and you think they're going to do, you know, their job, or at least they're going to support you or stand up for you or whatever it is that you're asking for instance, with city council and the consent agreement and just this whole process when you have groups of people going down saying, please don't do this, and then council turns around and does it anyway, and you're wondering, you know, but I elected you to represent me, you know, and my concerns, and that's not what's happening. But I don't know if it's just, it's obviously becoming, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable and educated about those who are running, but then also once they get there, holding them accountable.
All right, look, very, very quickly, because we're going to run out of time here. Mm-hmm. I want to talk quickly about Crystal Crittenden. Let me go back to Charles Pugh for just a second. I'll tie him together, Zenobia.
Okay.
We played some audio on the show last week where Charles Pugh had a chance to really have the back of Crystal Crittenden, and he refused to do it. And what he did was really odd, because he said, although I support her, I don't agree with her. You can't
right.
have it both. Well, you can't have it both ways, Zenobia.
Yeah. And that's the problem with all of our, we need people who are strong representatives, people I guess folks would say with some spine, with some backbone, to step out. I mean, because if you have that, then people have no other choice but to respect you. But if you double speak, then, you know, they can do the things that they've done, even with Bing. Our own mayor said the same thing. I support her, but I don't agree. And you can't not agree with somebody and support. I mean, to that extent, to what we were dealing with Crittenden. And she was doing her job. I mean, was she mandated to do what she did? No, it wasn't something she had to, but it was her job. So she felt like she had to because it was in her job description to do. So what they did to her in the media was deplorable. I mean, calling her rogue. I mean, just the name calling, incompetent, it was deplorable. And I really hope that she does go and file for reconsideration.
Well, whether you agree with her or not, I felt on the show, Zenobia, that we had kind of settled this idea that even if you disagreed with her, that she was actually doing the job she was hired to do by city charter.
Exactly. Exactly. And then there's that part in the charter, and I believe Eric put this in his story last week too, though, where the mayor used the part in section 7.2.203 or something. I don't have it in front of me, but there was a section where he says that she can do those things, you know, at the behest, I guess, of the mayor. And those aren't the exact words, but it doesn't say only of the mayor. So if the mayor, you know, was to ask her or request that she does it, then she would have to, but it's not only by the mayor. But there's the other section that says that if she, you know, writes whatever her recommendations or her opinion is to the city council or the mayor, and that's not followed within a certain amount of time, then she has every right to go to the courts to do so.
Let me ask you totally off the topic here for just a second. As you are well aware, the Bernard Kilpatrick trial is coming up in a few short weeks. It's going to be here before we know it.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a distraction? We don't really know what's going to happen, and we don't really know even if we think we know the outcome, we don't really know the outcome. And this is a trial that's going to last a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a distraction will it be for the city? Or can these leaders that aren't leading make sure it's not a distraction for the city?
Well, if history is any indicator, it's going to be a great distraction, because we know that even once former Mayor Kilpatrick was out of office and in Texas with his family, we continued to see headlines of what he was doing in Texas. So the media will make sure that we're consumed with the Kilpatrick saga continues, when there are so many other things that we need to be focused on right here in the city of Detroit.
Can I tell you that, Zenobia Jeffries, I am astounded to this day by how many people still support Kwame Kilpatrick. I mean, unequivocally support this guy.
Pardon me?
I said I'm just astounded by how many people still support Kwame Kilpatrick.
They do. They have a lot of people felt like that whatever happened within his first administration to his second administration, and I know we won't go into too much of that, but a lot of people felt like he had Detroiters' best interest at heart.
All right, we gotta take off. I promise you, Zenobia, we will definitely get you back on the program. This was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Zenobia Jeffries with the Michigan Citizen. You can find him online. We'll get a link on the Facebook page. In the meantime, Chris Mihalakis is in the house. We'll get to him after we take this top of the hour break. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got reports of concrete debris in the two right lanes on 75 southbound near Dixie Highway. You also got several tire changers off on the shoulder, so use some caution in that area. And you got road construction has your left lane closed on 94 eastbound at Connor. That's until 11 a.m. for a lighting crew. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. Europe's massive debt crisis tops the agenda as talks wrap up at the economic summit in Mexico. NBC's Chuck Todd in Los Cabos.
The focus of President Obama and other world leaders today is mostly going to be on figuring out how to make sure the European debt crisis doesn't trigger a global recession.
Meantime, Wall Street's looking to the Fed to add another round of monetary stimulus to America's slowing economy. One top analyst says the market has become a junkie for Fed stimulus. Stock futures point to a higher open. Colorado crews are making progress on the High Park wildfire, now 50% contained after scorching 92 square miles. In Southern Cal, a 900-acre blaze in eastern San Diego County threatening 200 homes. And for a photographer, viewpoint is everything. But for Jacob Bragan of New York, it was a ticket to the slammer. Police busted him for climbing to the top of the Brooklyn Bridge to get a better view of the city. Legally, he just didn't get the picture. This is NBC News Radio. The child sex abuse trial of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky continues today, with the defense still hedging on whether the defendant will testify. NBC's Michael Isikoff.
The defense lawyers do plan to argue the alleged victims are motivated by hopes of raking in big bucks from civil lawsuits. And they do have to decide whether to take the biggest risk of all, putting Sandusky himself on the witness stand.
Judge John Cleland says he expects the defense to wrap up its case by midday tomorrow. Do cell phones cause brain tumors? By far, most scientists say no, but the FCC says it may launch the first review of cell phone safety in 15 years, looking into the World Health Organization's recent finding that cell phone radiation is a possible carcinogen. And travelers, a University of Houston study is not going to make your rest easy. Researchers say 81% of the hotel room surfaces they swabbed had traces of fecal bacteria, including the remote control, telephone, and bedside lamps. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
The Home Depot now has 15% off select special order doors and windows from top brands like Masonite, Feather River, and Geldwin. That'll add more than a little curb appeal to any home, but not a lot to a budget. We're opening the doors and windows to an upgrade thanks to 15% off select special order doors and windows. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through June 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Too early to say whether JCPenney is about to bring back the coupons of amazing savings or the one-day sale now through the end of the month and the other marketing strategies it used to be known for. But one thing we can be sure of, the strategy Penney embraced beginning this year will not last much longer. The man behind it, former Target exec Michael Francis, is gone from Penney. He was there only 8 months and presided over a period of falling profits and sales. Because Microsoft has offered up no specific date yet for release of its line of Surface tablets unveiled yesterday, it will be some time before it's known what consumers think of it. But we know what some investors think. Not too much. Stock in Microsoft up just 16 cents a share in extended trades. We'll watch stock in Walgreens today. The biggest pharmacy chain in the U.S. announces it will buy a 45% stake in its counterpart in Europe, Alliance Boots, for $6.7 billion cash in stock. S&P futures gaining 4 points. NASDAQ futures up 11. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
GoRadio.com. Explore our worlds.
Americans are talking about energy.
They know we need energy from all sources.
To put Americans back to work.
And keep our nation secure.
Developing domestic energy.
American oil and natural gas.
Advanced technologies are making it possible.
Protecting the environment.
The new era of energy security.
Americans are becoming energy voters.
They're voting to re-energize America.
They're voting for American energy.
Learn more at voteforenergy.org.
Brought to you by the American Petroleum Institute.
Perlman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That will free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the internet.
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-8038.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
And we are ready. We've got so much good stuff to get to in this hour, including a soccer update. And we didn't do one last week, so we have to do a soccer update this week. Chris Mialakis is in the studio, so let's do this intro and get this hour going.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves leadership that is unique.
It's no secret that collective bargaining in the public sector is under attack, and there has just been law after law completely restricting, telling unions and management what they can and cannot bargain on. And I think this is so ridiculous and such a violation of rights.
Here is Metro Detroit AFL-CIO president.
They should be allowed to negotiate on whatever they see fit for their workplace. It's not the responsibility of the legislature or the governor to impose their will into their negotiations.
Chris Mihalakis.
And in studio with us is Chris Mihalakis. Welcome back, Mr. President. A pleasure to have you with us.
It's good to be here. And Jeff, I don't know if I thanked you for that new intro, but it sounds great.
Yes, nice job. Before we talk about anything, we need to talk about 685,000 signatures that found their way to the Secretary of State's office just last Tuesday.
Yeah.
We had kind of nice, and I thought, okay, he knew, and he just couldn't say anything, and that's because it happened the next day, but or the 2 days later. But anyway, good news. I mean, just a ton of signatures, far more than they needed.
Oh yeah.
So it's not going to be an issue of are there enough or is it the right font size that we're good to go.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a surprise to me. I mean, I got a text message saying we just filed, and
I had a big stack of signatures sitting on my desk. And, I mean, you know, of the 680,000 that we filed, there's probably God knows how many. I mean, I probably have a couple thousand sitting in my office still. But, I mean, it was just people were signing this left and right. You know, it was an easy sell. If you talk to any of our affiliates, any of our unions, they'll all tell you the same thing. Getting our members to sign this was a piece of cake. Everybody understands the importance of collective bargaining, why it should be there, and why it should be protected, and why it should be enshrined in our Constitution. So people were really excited to sign the petition, and I mean, that's just huge. So over 600,000. We could have potentially hit a million.
Easily.
If we were going for it. But, I mean, we only needed to file 320,000, so...
Yeah, there is. At some point, it's kind of like rubbing someone's face.
Well, yeah, and not just that. I mean, it's time to go on to the next phase of this, which is, you know, we have the signatures. Clearly, the public wants this on the ballot. Now it's time to win this and to really start getting the message out there to the public that collective bargaining is something that every single person in this state is entitled to. It's something that we should all fight for, and it's something that should be protected in our Constitution.
Well, it's interesting because, and obviously we've had a chance to talk about this on the show, and I talk about it when I'm out in the community, and we have an education job to do, but the other side, if you will, their response right away is, well, now we need to start educating people as to the reality of what this does, and all they're now doing is begging us to bring up right to work. Well, go ahead, bring up right to work. Yeah. We're ready for that fight, too. You and I have actually been fighting that fight for over a year now, so if you want to talk right to work, invite me to the conversation. I'm ready.
Well, you know, that's the thing, Tony. Even in the intro, I mean, it's a message that I pound over and over and over again, and that it's right to work is simply a law that interferes with the collective bargaining process. It's the state government telling union members, telling workers and employers what they can and cannot negotiate on. And that's ridiculous. That's the whole purpose of this collective bargaining amendment. The whole point is that workers and management should be able to freely bargain on whatever topics they choose to bargain on without any interference from the state government. You know, if workers want to stick together, if workers want to form a union, they should have that right. That right should be protected by the Constitution. And, you know, right now, those rights are under attack, and there's a strong need for a constitutional amendment like this.
Well, as we see other issues struggling to find and garner enough signatures to get on the ballot, this was not one of them. So, again, ultimately, it's good news. Most people get that this isn't about union and non-union. It's about the Michigan worker. And I don't know what percentage of those signatures are non-union people, nor do I care. What I care about is that we have the discussion. Let's have the discussion.
Yeah, and, you know, I was out in Eastern Market every Saturday and with dozens and dozens of other workers and members of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO collecting signatures, and we already got the conversation started a little bit. And some people would say, well, I'm not in a union, and I don't know if I like unions. And my response was always, this isn't about, you know, necessarily what you want. It's those that want a union in their workplace. Should they have a right to have it, and should that right be protected by the Constitution? And most of the time, people would say, well, you know, I may be a white-collar, you know, professional, a union, or, you know, labor may not be relevant to me, but for those that want to have a union, they should have that right. And so it's a pretty simple argument.
Well, congratulations again. I know that organized labor and AFL affiliates, both statewide and all over the metropolitan Detroit area, worked very hard to get those signatures. Everybody in the individual collective unions, it's certainly a show of solidarity. Chris, as you know, last Friday, President Barack Obama made a really stunning announcement. What you're going to walk us through here in just a moment, but basically it gives, and this is something that I would think hits close to home for you, it gives workers here in the United States that are not here legally an opportunity to be legal to some degree. And this isn't a permanent policy, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. I hesitate really to call it controversial, because it's only controversial if you don't care about your fellow man or woman, if as the case may be. I think this just makes sense.
Well, yeah, what President Obama essentially signed into with an executive order is what's called the DREAM Act. And the DREAM Act says that if you came to the United States illegally as a child before you were 16 years old, in essence, before, you know, you couldn't make the decision whether or not to come to this country. Your family came here. You came along with them. You have no say in the matter. I mean, what are you going to do, Tony? If you're a 12-year-old kid, a 13-year-old kid, are you going to tell mom and dad, oh, no, you know, what you're doing is against the law. I'm going to stay here on this side of the border. I mean, that's ridiculous. So for children who came here before they were 16, lived in the United States for at least 5 years, and are either attending school, graduated from high school, received a GED, were honorably discharged from the armed forces, and in addition to all that, so you have to be one of those things. So, you know, no high school dropouts are eligible for this and that sort of thing. And also at the same time, you cannot have been convicted of a felony or a serious misdemeanor or multiple misdemeanors. So
this is already shooting what the Republicans are saying in the foot, because they're claiming that everything you just said isn't part of this.
Right. So if all that is the case, and on top of that, you don't pose a threat to national security or public safety, and you're under the age of 30, then we're extending your work, giving those people work status, legal work status. And it's going to give them time to get all their paperwork in order and to eventually, you know, hopefully go down an earned path to citizenship. But that remains to be seen.
Now, you know, there are going to be some people, I mean, I know certain people that certainly have been working, I mean, certainly are here illegally, just because of the way the system is set up, but have tried to get themselves into a legal status and have been unable to. Will this help a lot of those people?
Without a doubt, Tony. I mean, this is going to help a lot of people who, like I said before, didn't make the conscious decision to come to this country for whatever reason, ended up here. And it's going to help give those people some work status, some legal work status, to where they can straighten everything out in the meantime, and hopefully eventually, if not become a citizen, at least get a green card and become a permanent resident. And, you know, Tony, I know a lot of these folks.
Yes, you do.
And I've worked very hard with the Dreamers. I remember about a year and a half ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, President Obama spoke at commencement at the University of Michigan. And there were a group of students. We had a rally in the park right outside Michigan Stadium. And there was a group of students, about a dozen of them, who fell into this category, who, you know, grew up in the United States their whole lives. American culture is the only culture they know. These are Americans. And they marched from Western High School all the way to Ann Arbor overnight. And, I mean, these kids were brave and, you know, marching alone overnight. I mean, you know, who knows what could have happened to them, braving the elements. I remember meeting them when they got into the park, and they were talking about how they got so familiar with their blisters, they started giving them names because their feet hurt so much. But, you know, also a good friend of ours and a good friend of the show, Bartosz Kumor, is going to be helped by this. And as soon as the announcement was made, and as soon as I got all the details, the first call I made was to Bartosz, and I said, hey, you know, your work status has been extended another year. So that was exciting.
Well, and of course now we want it extended permanently. And, well, we'll come back to that in a moment. We have to take a break here in just 60 seconds. You know, we talked about the Garcia family on this show. Does this help them?
You know what? I don't know all the specifics.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it doesn't, because he's 46 years old.
Yeah, but it would help keep the children here. But I mean, that's the next step, Tony, is keeping families together. I mean, the first step was the Dream Act.
Imagine.
But you know, we'll one step at a time.
All right, let's take a quick break. Got a lot more to get to on this and other topics. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Tony at the Tony Show. .org on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. A quick break here. We'll be back with Chris Mihalakis right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. taking a look at your traffic. We have an accident that has your left shoulder blocked in the construction zone. That's on 275 southbound at Ecorse Road. Also, we got those reports of concrete debris in the two right lanes. That's on 75 southbound near Dixie Highway. And also watch out for several tire changers on the shoulder. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. The non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt, and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income, and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Chris Mialakis, again, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is my guest every Tuesday at this time. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We are going to go to the phone and welcome John in Dearborn to First Shift. John, you're on the air with Chris Mihalakis.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
I'm Uncle John. Chris is Uncle John.
Good morning, Phil.
You're gracious enough to come to the Dearborn Democratic meeting a couple of weeks ago. You did a great job, I think, firing up the people, and what you had to say was so right on. It was unbelievable.
I enjoyed meeting you, John. I truly did.
But my point is, it's amazing that this immigration, is it true that right now if an immigrant joins the Army, once he gets out, is he not a citizen of the United States?
You know, under George Bush, they changed that law. I don't know what the policy is under Obama, But and the reason why my Uncle John brings that up is because my grandfather, his father, came here illegally. And you know, it's a story that I'm proud of, Tony, because, you know, he risked it all. He wanted a better life for future generations, for my uncle, for myself. And so he came to the United States, and the way he got his citizenship was by joining the Navy during World War II. I believe that policy is no longer in effect. I remember during the height of the Bush administration, there was some ambiguity. They offered it for a couple years, and what happened, Tony, was they would a lot of private military corporations would recruit mercenaries by saying, you're going to fight for the United States Army and we're going to give you citizenship. And then they weren't granting them citizenship because they weren't fighting for the Army. They were fighting for Blackwater and or Z or whatever they call themselves now, and the dozens of other mercenary corporations that are in Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't know what the current policy is. I believe it's something that they've suspended, and it's something that we need to fight to bring back. Because if you're willing to fight and die for this country, you should get citizenship, plain and simple.
Absolutely. This is, again, one of those conversations, even mindsets, where you wonder, if somebody's opposed to that, what are they opposed to? I'm going to go, and because this is the one criticism that you're hearing and I'm hearing, mm-hmm. you're seeing online. President Obama just gave 1 million U.S. jobs to foreigners. That's yeah. not what this did.
No, not at all. I mean, these are students. These are people who are you know, active in our economy, that want to earn a living, that want to contribute to the economy. In many cases, they're college students, they're soldiers, they're veterans. And so it's ridiculous to argue that. I mean, there's plenty of prosperity in America for everybody. It's just a question of, you know, who has access to it? Who has access to the American dream? And we want to start, you know, shutting certain people out because of where they come from and of technicalities. And, you know, Tony, if the future generations, if the descendants of illegal immigrants all disappeared in this country in an instant, there wouldn't be many people left in America.
Yeah.
I mean, America was founded on illegal immigration. You know, when the pilgrims came, the Native Americans didn't ask them for their papers.
You know, some of the questions that are going to come up, and I know a couple of them are important. Number one, if it is determined that you don't qualify, there is no appeals process. That's correct, right?
As far as I know.
Yeah. And then again, you know, the other thing that we should probably talk about, people are going to need a lawyer to do this. This is not something that you can just go online, fill out a form, hit the send button, and then
right.
just sit home and wait.
Or a qualified nonprofit.
Right. So that is critical. I should probably reach out to our mutual friend, Ryan Bates. Have you
yes.
talked to him about this?
Very briefly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to him last Friday, actually, and I mean, he's very excited as well. And, you know, I can imagine the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights, which recently merged with the Michigan Organizing Project, and I'm honored to be on their board. And full disclosure, I'm sure this is something we're going to be working on really aggressively to help those workers.
All right, so let's take this to the next logical step, which is we need permanent legislation. This is not
right.
a permanent solution, so we need to keep on underscoring that, because I don't want people
right.
to think, well, you know, although this is a victory, it's a very temporary victory.
Yeah, as long as Obama's in office. I mean, if Mitt Romney gets in there, he's been very coy. I mean,
no, very coy would be the right way to say that.
I will say this. He hasn't outright said, you know, he hasn't done what he's done on all these other issues and just, like, you know, repeated the Tea Party talking points. He's been kind of quiet on this one. And this could be something where he's not horrible, but I don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, but here's the problem. He was asked by Bob Schieffer on
yeah.
CBS three specific questions that
yeah.
were yes or no. And he wouldn't answer.
He doesn't believe in yes or no.
Well, that's true. In fact, the Michigan Democratic Party sent out a soundbite yesterday. He was in Ohio, and he was asked if he were a Buckeye fan, and he just wouldn't answer the freaking question.
And it's funny, too, because, you know, Jeff and I were talking about this before the show. You know, when someone, like, first of all, it's a dumb question, but the way he answered it, not only did he manage to tick off everyone in Ohio, but everyone in Michigan, too, because
yeah.
he says, oh, well, now I live in Massachusetts. I root for the Massachusetts teams.
Right. He's in fact, you know, we're going to talk about this in the other side of the break, but Mitt Romney is in Michigan today, but not just today.
But, you know, Tony, the way I look at it, if you're from Michigan, if you're from Detroit, you are always a Tiger. always a Wolverine or a State fan.
Always a Pistons Tiger. Fan. He just showed me his backdrop on his iPad. Always a Tiger. Do you change that with each season? Like football, it'd be
No,
always a Tiger.
Always a Tiger.
That's good. That's good. I'm a little angry with my Tigers these days.
Well, there's another team that's playing around this summer that you might want to look into.
All right, we're going to very quickly go to the phone before we take a break here and welcome. And I'm going to, Marty, before I bring you on, get right to your question, buddy. That's why you didn't make it on air the other day. Marty in Westland joins us now. Go ahead, Marty.
No problem. And thanks for taking me on the air. And I was kind of just making two comments. I have no problem with what Obama did a couple of days ago. It's about time someone did it. It seemed like Marco Rubio was kind of running on the same platform, trying to do the same sort of deal relatively. But as the president said before that, and what I have a problem with any president, is these guys can do executive order. Obama himself said this is not the process, this is not constitutional, yet he did it. And my other problem is I heard the gentleman on the air speaking that everyone has a chance for prosperity. Well, let me just say my 10-year-old daughter, from two reckless, destructive parties, has taken on debt from unfunded liabilities of $1.101 trillion. My daughter owes the government $1.53 million from that debt alone. We have $16 trillion of debt coming our way. I don't see where any prosperity at all is available to anybody, considering the damage that both of the parties do, how they break our Constitution every day. Constantly, and I'm just trying to hear a response.
All right, Marty, because we're going to get to the break, so let us go ahead and respond to that. Chris, you can take it,
or
I'll take it.
No, I mean, sure. I guess I'm just a little more optimistic about the future of America than Marty is, as far as the prosperity goes. But as far as what was the other point he made, Tony, about the constitutionality of what Obama did.
Right.
Presidents can sign executive orders. The thing with executive, because this is an internal policy for the agencies within the government that the president oversees.
Correct.
So there is nothing unconstitutional about it.
There is not. And let me make a very quick point because we have to get to the break. Yeah. The president specifically said that he went to the Department of Homeland Security, talked to corporate counsel, or I'm sorry, the White House counsel. He would not have done this unless he had the legal power to do it.
Right.
And he made that very clear. Chris, quick break here. We'll come back, talk about Mitt Romney. A lot of things to get to, including a little field trip on Wednesday. We'll get to that. And we'll talk soccer, I promise. Chris Mialakis with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got a bad accident on US 23 northbound approaching M14. Has your two left lanes blocked and has caused traffic to be stopped from M14. Also, we got a collision that has your left shoulder blocked in the construction zone on 275 southbound just before E-Course. And also another accident has your right shoulder blocked on 94 westbound at West Grand Boulevard. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Outraged Republican lawmakers rise up on their hind legs and howl in protest at any suggestion that Washington should finally end the special decade-old tax break given to millionaires and billionaires. Never mind that these privileged 1%ers are doing extremely well and don't need more taxpayer handouts. Their congressional defenders wail that any cuts in their tax benefits would spook the elites by creating, quote, financial uncertainty for them. Meanwhile, these same lawmakers howl in outrage about the meager unemployment payments going to America's hard-hit, out-of-work families who actually need a helping hand in today's jobless economy. More than 5 million of our fellow citizens have been unable to find jobs for half a year or more. To tide them over to better times, Congress begrudgingly okayed a supplement to state unemployment funds in February, supposedly allowing up to 99 weeks of jobless benefits. But lawmakers, who are so sensitive to the delicate temperaments of the 1%, struck these 99ers with a clause that builds, quote, financial uncertainty right into the law. They quietly reduced the total number of weeks of extended aid available to the jobless and made it more difficult for states to qualify for the supplement. The result is that unemployed people in 23 states have already been stunned to find that they've lost up to 5 months of benefits they were entitled to. Already, about 500,000 jobless Americans have been cut off prematurely from payments that make the difference between hanging on and plunging into poverty. This is Jim Hightower saying, adding insult to injury, these knockdowns are rationalized by the right-wing howlers as necessary. Why? To prevent the unemployed from becoming dependent on public help, a concern that they don't express about extended tax giveaways to the super rich.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after the hour. We had Brad Woodhouse on the show yesterday, who is communications director of the Democratic National Committee, and Chris Mihalakis. I have to tell you, I find it interesting that Mitt Romney is doing a tour of prosperous states. I'm not quite understanding the connection there. I don't understand who's running his campaign. But let's for a moment talk about how well Michigan's doing and why they're doing well. As you know, about 3 weeks ago or so, I had former Lieutenant Governor John Cherry on this show. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that the Granholm Cherry administration successfully did was create a program called No Worker Left Behind.
Right.
I learned yesterday from Mark Brewer, I didn't know this, that they helped create 100,000 jobs through that retraining program, wow. That free retraining program, by the way. Free. Retraining.
As a matter of fact, Tony, a lot of our Farmer Jack employees, when Farmer Jack went out of business, were able to go through retraining. We had a big program in our office, getting those that were laid off, those that didn't get picked up by Kroger or Hollywood Markets. We ended up retraining them and finding other jobs for them. And that's just, another example of how Roger Robinson's leadership has been great in our local and how many great things that Local 876 does.
All right. I got to give Rick Blocker a little bit of love here. Every time I run into a former Farmer Jack employee, yeah. They say to me, Rick Blocker came to me before my store closed and said, hey, are you taking advantage of that program?
Yeah.
And he said, and I'll bet you I've talked to 8 or 10 people, yeah, that did that. Not this year. Last year I went to the Tiger game. You guys yeah, offer tickets and at a discounted price. And so that, of course, sells out instantaneously. I can't tell you how many people I met there that said, oh, if it weren't for Rick Blocker, I wouldn't be working at, yeah, Kroger right now. So yeah, I got to give him a little love on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, back to Mitt Romney. So here he is doing this bus tour, coming to Michigan. And by the way, the message of this bus tour is that the economy sucks and it's the president's fault. Yet, right, we've got more people going back to work than we have in a long time. Because of Granholm and Cherry, because of the president,
because of the auto bailouts.
Right.
I mean that.
So the president puts this nice loan package together, gets people back to work. Didn't just save the auto industry, saved manufacturing.
Right.
But Mitt Romney chooses to do this bus tour to tell us that it's the wrong thing.
I don't understand. I mean, Mittens is just all over the place on the auto bailouts. You know, first he wanted Detroit to go bankrupt. I mean, that, like, Tony, I find that so insulting, especially considering his upbringing. He grew up in an auto industry home. His father was an auto executive that eventually merged with Chrysler that benefited from the bailouts twice. They had to get bailed out, you know. You know, he goes against his hometown, whether he's rooting for Massachusetts teams or wanting Detroit to bankrupt. He's turned his back on Michigan on every way possible. And then he tries to claim that, oh, you know, this was my idea. The bailouts were my idea, which I don't know where he got that from. But to make matters worse, Tony, he didn't just stop with the auto industry. He's been going around saying that, well, we need to lay off more firefighters, more police, and more teachers. And, you know, because a lot of states are doing what Governor Snyder has done and what Republicans here have done, and that's lay off teachers, lay off firefighters, lay off police officers, so they can give giant tax breaks to corporations. And Romney is condoning this and promoting this and saying this is the path to prosperity. Now, let me ask you something, Tony. Is the reason why we got in this economic mess because firefighters make too much money or because teachers have it too good or we have too many police officers on the street?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's because of clowns like Romney and Wall Street, you know, treating our pension money, treating our retirement savings like a casino and raiding our funds and making foolish investments because, you know, companies like Bain Capital, like all these hedge funds and all these shady investment corporations, they make money off a volatile market. They make money when the market goes up. They make money when the market goes down. And, you know, they like this volatility. Whereas for workers like us, Tony, you know, we can't afford to take big hits every couple of years. My father's still working because so much of his retirement savings was in General Motors. He should be retired by now.
Sadly, your dad's not alone. I mean, yeah. We've heard that story on this show so many times. When I go out to speak in public, I hear that story, especially with auto workers.
Chris. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it breaks my heart when I have to hear people tell that story. I thought it was odd, though, that he was going to do this tour of Michigan.
Yeah.
And there was nothing, certainly nothing that was public about fundraisers. No, you know, and you kind of expect it. And then you actually enlighten me. He's trying to actually hide this one.
Yeah, well, he's doing his tour. He's going to visit Holland and Frankenmuth, and he's going to stay out of Detroit. Except, you know, he'll come here to take our money. So, there's going to be a fundraiser for Romney, Wednesday, tomorrow, between 5 and 6:30, and we are going to be there to properly welcome, Mitt to Detroit and remind him of the horrible things that he has said about Detroit and the horrible things he's trying to do to our economy. So we're encouraging everybody, all you listeners out there, join us at the Troy Marriott. That's 200 West Big Beaver Road, right in the corner of Big Beaver and Civic Center Drive. We're going to get there at 5:00. There's a parking lot. There's an empty office building. I'm sure, you know, empty as a result of shady practices that Mitt Romney promotes. So come at 5:00. There's free parking. We'll have plenty of signs. Bring your own if you want. And let's give Mitt Romney a proper, you know, union welcoming and remind him of how harmful his policies, his proposed policies, would be for working people
in
Michigan.
Interestingly, if you're standing in front of the Marriott, you won't see it. But if you just move over about 40 feet and look up, you're going to see the Chrysler headquarters off in the distance. I mean, it's really that close to a building that he would have seen. It would have been closed by now, by the way.
Right, yeah. Right.
The headquarters would have been shut down.
Yeah. If he had his way, there would be no Chrysler building. All those workers would be laid off.
We need to talk some reality. Seriously, Chris, we need to talk some reality here. And I'm trying to remember. In fact, we couldn't come up with anything yesterday when we had Brad Woodhouse on the show. We were trying to come up with a policy or an initiative. And you know, the odd thing is, and I did go to the Romney campaign website yesterday. They don't have any details. Literally, there isn't a single detail on what this man would do if he were president. A lot of details on why we need to get rid of Barack Obama. And I get that one's a Democrat and one's a Republican, because they're not going to agree on a lot of stuff.
Sure.
But shouldn't you stand for nothing, just not stand against something?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say, Tony. I mean, it's pretty absurd.
All right. Well, we will, in the process, we will continue to keep an eye on this. Now, I'll certainly talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah,
on
please
the show.
Do. I encourage everyone to come out. We'll be there from 5 to 6:30. And let's give Romney a piece of our mind. And let me tell you something too, Tony. I went out to the Troy Marriott. There's no way he can get in or out of that building without seeing our pickers.
Yeah,
there.
It's kind of right. In fact, there's the Michigan left right there, in front of the Marriott. So I would imagine if you guys are, it doesn't really matter how you situate yourself, there's no way he can ignore you.
Yeah. He's going to have to see us.
Well, the last time we had a Republican in town in Troy, a couple thousand people showed up.
That's right.
So I would anticipate that there will be a nice raspberry hello to Willard.
And we're going to have speakers there, firefighters, teachers, talking about how Mitt's proposed policy will affect them. I mean,
do you not find it just a little interesting that all of a sudden those are government jobs? Because I've never said, oh, there's a teacher, there's a government job.
Yeah.
I realize they're paid with taxpayer dollars, but really a government job?
I mean, it's investment in human capital. Investing in education is an investment in human capital. It's an investment in our future. And, you know, Romney thinks that the path to prosperity is off of the backs of working people, off the backs of people who serve the public. I don't think the problem with our economy is we have too many firefighters or too many police officers or too many teachers, God forbid. I think, you know, we need less, smaller classrooms so teachers can get better education, which means we need more educators. I think we need more police officers on the streets. I have a friend who is a firefighter in Waterford, and their fire department, because now the emergency manager in Pontiac, just shut down their fire department. Waterford now has to cover two cities, and he's telling me that, like, just how the morale in the fire station is terrible because they're just stretched so thin. You know, one fire department can't cover two big cities like that.
I know I'm a broken record, but how about being in Harper Woods where they only have one fireman per shift now?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have an emergency manager. They have a city council that did that to them.
Or in Troy, you have a volunteer fire department still.
That's just... Because it's wrong. I mean, this is wrong. This is not the way, this is not a society that you and I grew up in. And we're not that old, dude. This is not a society that we grew up in.
And Tony, it'd be one thing if everybody was tightening the belt. But it seems to me that working people have to tighten the belt. The middle class, the upper middle class, we all got to make sacrifices. But the richest of the rich, you know, the top 10th of 1% are making out like bandits.
Yeah, well, there's no question that is true. All right, we've got to get to a break here in about a minute and a half. Let me give the address out again one more time.
Yep.
The Troy Marriott is at 200 West Big Beaver Road in Troy. You really can't miss it. You just can't miss it. It's right there. And it's not that far off of 75. Literally, I want to say... less than a minute off of 75.
Yeah, it's right there.
So you can't miss it. And there is a big office building next door. It's empty. So you don't want to – listen, we're not looking to hurt the Troy Marriott. Not at all. So don't park there. Just park next door. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get an update on the soccer season. Because you were telling Anthony and I a little story when we were walking out of here last week. You guys get a little rowdy.
Hey, you know.
Get the law enforcement involved there.
That's how we roll.
All right. Jeff said, by the way, if you guys are too loud, Mitt's bus is just going to keep going. So,
well, hey, if he doesn't show up to a fundraiser,
if only
doesn't pick up those checks.
It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't show up and have somebody else pick up the checks.
Right.
Anyway, we'll come back and wrap it up with Chris Mialakis on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining us now is Susan Demish.
I don't have an issue with people switching parties. You know, is this a decision of conscience? People thinking of all? I get that. But it's really hard to argue that this is a deep-seated, philosophical, wrenching decision that the representative made when he switched parties 10 minutes before the filing deadline on Tuesday. And he never said boo about his unhappiness to any of his Democratic colleagues, to his staff who are now out of the job, or to the leadership. I mean, this was a very brave and political move.
On 1310
WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And we get ready to wrap things up. Man, the day just flies by. Chris, I can't tell you, because you've done this, so
yeah.
You will appreciate this. There are mornings that I'm a little more tired or whatever, and I go, man, that 3 hours, it's going to be a long time. And then before I know it, it's over. It's like, okay, where did the time go? It just really flies by. I do have the best job in the world. There's no question that that's true. We are going to get to the phone in just a second, yep. But let's quickly get an update on our soccer schedule.
Well, Tony, as you may or may not know, Detroit City FC, the minor league soccer team here in Detroit that plays at Cass Tech, is having a phenomenal season this Saturday.
Oh, okay. What is their record now?
I'm trying to think. 4 wins, 3 ties, 1 loss, something like that.
Oh, phenomenal season. Okay,
yeah.
I'll go with
that. Yeah, they are in first place in the NPSL Great Lakes Conference. This Saturday, they're facing their arch rivals, AFC Cleveland. When we were down there last week, they threatened our fans, or not last week, it was 2-3 weeks ago. We went on an away game to Cleveland. They threatened us with arrests. They threatened us.
They really did,
yeah.
Too. You were telling us about that last week.
Yeah, they kicked out one of our fans. You know, heaven forbid an African-American woman watch a soccer game without being harassed by the police, but their police were pretty awful. But anyways, this Saturday's game, if Detroit wins, we will clinch the Rust Belt Derby and remain on top in our division.
What do you think of that, Jeff, huh? What do you think of that?
Really? I'm sorry. What were you guys talking about?
There was 1,400 people at Cass Tech last weekend. It was very and the supporter section on the one side of the field is just packed to the brim of people just going nuts.
That would be your side of the field, right?
That's right.
Of course, of course. let's get another call in. Keith in Novi joins us now. Keith, thanks for giving us a call on First Shift today. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony. I just want to say every time you play those hypocrites on the right, criticizing Obama and his relationship with the press, need to bring up male prostitute Jeff Gannon Guggard and Joe Wilson, what I didn't find in Iraq. And he was right. We didn't find WMDs. And they exposed our CIA operative wife.
you know, Keith, thank you for the call. I don't want to live in the past, Chris. I don't. But George Bush got so many passes by the especially the national media.
Yeah.
I mean, so many passes. And I was really, really actively involved. As you know, at that time, I was a syndicated talk show host.
That's right.
Did a lot of national stuff. I mean, a ton of national stuff. And Keith couldn't be more right. The national media, and maybe they just got tired of, and literally, and I understand it, but you get tired of saying bad things about your president every day.
Yeah, I mean, what the Bush administration did so well is they screwed up so many things on every single front. I can understand, you know, there's legitimate criticisms of the Obama administration, but with the Bush administration, it's point to one thing he did right. I mean, foreign policy was a disaster. Domestic policy was
actually
a disaster.
I do have one thing that he did right. He did support raising minimum wage.
Well, and the other thing too was he supported the auto bailouts at the very, very end. And but I mean, other than those two little things, like his policy in general was just awful. His economic policy, bailout aside, was just atrocious and detrimental to working people.
Well, he's, you know, interestingly, just 3 days ago, the Quinnipiac, which is very Republican, nonpartisan, yeah, you know, they did a poll. 68% of the people in that poll, which was 1,800 people, 68% said the current economy as a result of George W. Bush. People still understand why we're... And listen, I wish that President Obama did do better. But, you know, he has a partner. It's called the Republican Party.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if the Republicans said... You know, it's funny because Republicans distanced themselves from Bush as well. And it'd be one thing if the Republicans in the House and Senate said, look, we understand that 8 years is a fiasco. Let's sit down. Let's come to a reasonable, let's work together to rebuild our economy. Instead, it's this crazy right-wing shock doctrine where it's, you know, let's push the agenda. Let's see how far we can go before, you know, the people get outraged. And they keep pushing it and pushing it, Tony. And that's the question I have with your audience is at what point are we going to say enough is enough? You do not have the interests of working people in mind. The only people you care about are the people at the very, very, very top. And it's nothing, it's been nothing but a torrent of economic policies that help the very rich. And I'm not talking about, you know, when we talk about the 1%, the richest 1% or the 1/10 of 1%, we're not talking about, you know, your boss. We're talking about your boss, like, the shareholder of the bank that owns the holding company, that owns the company you work for, that your boss's manager's boss report to. I mean, these are people that don't live in the same world that you and I do.
This is something you'll appreciate. I get an email from somebody not long ago that sends me the salaries of the top 10 quote-unquote union bosses, union presidents in the state of Michigan, and says to me, first of all, look at, they're all part of the 1%. Not one of them is part of the 1%. Well, no, let me finish. Yeah. Number two, every one of them earned that paycheck and earns that paycheck. And what I responded to him, I said very quickly, tell me what they do and how much time off they have a month.
Right.
A month. They don't get time off.
Right.
Even when they're not at the office, they're working.
Right.
I talked to Roger Robinson. He's always flying off here, making sure his retirees are taken care of there.
Right.
Going to this committee meeting in Washington, D.C. to make sure that they're compliant with this. Non-stop, Chris.
That's right.
These guys are always working. Always. Now, how would you like to be the president of a teacher's union right now? I don't think we need to justify what these guys make.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I mean, it's pennies on the dollar compared to their corporate counterparts. I mean, fractions of a penny. It's not even close. It's like, you know, Chris Rock put it best about the difference between, you know, the richest 1%. They're not just rich, they're wealthy. And he said the difference between rich and wealthy is people talk about Shaq, and Shaq's rich. But the white guy who signs Shaq's checks,
he's wealthy.
He's wealthy.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, listen, we are just about ready to wrap it up today, and I want to thank you for everything. It amazes me, and of course, the hardest work we have to do is yet to come, whether it's protect our jobs or getting President Obama reelected or so many of the House seats, Chris, that we need to turn from Republican to Democrat. I just made a connection yesterday with all of the Supreme Court justice candidates that the Democrats are endorsing. So I'm looking forward to having them. We have some important work to do the next 12, 14 weeks, and we need to be mindful. And we have made the decision to go to the Democratic National Convention. I don't know if you're going, but we will be going.
I won't be.
I just think we need to be there. I think for this audience, we need to be there. So we are. Anthony and I will be going. And very much looking forward to that. It's time. It's time for real change in the state. We don't need real change in the country. We need people to start doing what this president is asking of them. In the state, we need real change.
Well, and the thing is, Tony, the work doesn't end on election day. We need to, you know, it's not enough to just go out and vote for who you want to vote for. It's working afterwards to push your issues, to educate voters on your issues, but also educate politicians on what issues are important to you.
Well, ask Uncle John what I made everybody promise before I left that Dearborn Democratic Club meeting, because what I asked him, and you can put my feet to the fire in this, I said, can we finally commit to understanding that on election day, that's not the end, but the beginning?
Exactly.
And that's what you were saying. Thanks so much, brother. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Always it goes by fast, doesn't it? It really goes by fast. Chris Mialakis, once again, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. That'll do it for us today. Hopefully, you'll have me tomorrow from Black Lake. If not, you'll have the best of with Anthony and Jeff. In the meantime, that'll do it for us for today. Guys, thanks so much for everything you do. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email, and as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got a bad accident on US 23 northbound approaching M14. It has your two left lanes blocked and has caused traffic to be stopped from M14. Also, we got a collision that has your left shoulder blocked in the construction zone on 275 southbound just before E-Course. And also another accident has your right shoulder blocked on 94 westbound at West Grand Boulevard. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 94 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 73. Tomorrow, clear skies and 96. And it's currently 77 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit.